ీనా పాదరే నో యాసాం హరిగలో ಗೋಪೀತಂ ಪುರಾಣಿ ಭುವನತ್ರಯಂ ಗೋಪೀನಾರಣಾನಂದೇನ ಪೀತಾಂಬರಂ ಕರವಿರಾಜಿತ ಚಕ್ರಶಂಖಂ ಕೌಮೋದಕೀ ಸರಸಿಜಂ ಕರುಣಾಸಮುದ್ರಂ ರಾಧಾ ಸಹಾಯ ಮತಿ ಸುಂದರ ಮಂಗಳಾಸನಂ ವಾತಾಳೇಶಂ ದಿಶಂ ಪ್ರತಿಭಾವಯಾಮಿ ಕೋಮಲಂ ಪೂಜಯನ್ ವೇಣುಂ ಶ್ಯಾಮಲೋಯಂ ಕುಮಾರಕ ವೇದವೇದ್ಯವರಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಮಹಾಸದಾಂ ಪುರಕೋ ಮುಖಂ ಕರೋಮಿ ವಾಚಾಲಂ ಅಂಗಂ ಗ್ರಂಥಯತೆ ಗಿರಿಂ ಯದ್ಕೃವಾದಮಹಂ ವಂದೇ ಪರಮಾನಂದ ಮಾಧವಂ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ನಮಃ ಶ್ರೀಮತಿ ರಾಧಿಕಾಯ ನಮಃ ಸರ್ವತ್ರ ಗೋವಿಂದ ನಾಮ ಸಂಕೀರ್ತನಂ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಗೋವಿಂದ
Vibhuti. We wouldn't need to opulence from whatever that is used there. So, all these things Krishna says here, that in one word, that this is not a process that can be followed as a long period of time. As soon as you wake up into your identity of the self, in a natural way, these things will happen to that person. Madmanaha, Madbhaktaha, Madhyajima, Namaskuru. All these qualifications will come to that person automatically. You can't do that one after the other. Because as soon as what happens is, when self-realization happens, when we wake up to your own identity, the relationship between Krishna and us is known to us at that time. That happens only when we wake up to the self-realization state. As soon as it happens, our swarupa, swarupa means our identity, when we realize it, that we have a very, very, very strong relationship with Krishna, that is what we happens at that time. Up to this point in time, our identity with the body is very strong. We have lost that connection with Krishna due to jnanam, avidya inside. And that avidya moves away and you wake up to the reality of the self. Immediately you realize that there is a strong relationship with Krishna who is present in everyone's heart. And that is what is mentioned in the Bhagavad as advaita jnanam. Isn't it? You saw in the first canto, he says, Vadandita Tattvayam Tattvam Yajnanam Advayam. Advayam Jnanam it is called. It is called Advayam Jnanam. And Advayam Jnanam is the nature of the truth. Advayam Jnanam is the nature of the truth. We misunderstand in many different ways. And that Advayam Jnanam, in the vacant state, we address him as Brahmedi, Paramatmedi, Bhagavanidi, Shabdade. We address that Advaita Jnanam in the vacant state in one of these three different attributes. So, what is the relationship then between Krishna and us? That is the question, isn't it? What is the relationship between Ishvara and Jiva, in other words? What is the relationship between Krishna and us? That is what it mentions here. When the different relationship is, there is a difference in the Upadhi and also there is a difference in the awareness. Upadhi and awareness, these are the two things at the moment between us and Krishna, the difference. Our upadhi is, we keep this material body. We keep a material body. Krishna doesn't keep a material body. Krishna has a spiritual body all the time. So that is the first difference. We have a material body, which means it's a upadhi. Upadhi means material body is a upadhi. For example, mind, gross body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, they are all upadhis for the soul. Upadhis for the soul. So, upadhis are there for the soul and therefore our body is material because they are upadhis for the soul. In Krishna's case, because it is not upadhi for Krishna, body, mind, intelligence, ego, they are not upadhi for Krishna. They are Krishna's, Krishna is that. Without any tinge of any material contamination, Krishna's body is spiritual, completely spiritual. Chinmayam, that is the way it is used. Chitshakti, Chinmayam, Chinmudra, so many words they have used in the Bhagavad in different places. So, we keep this material body and what else is happening with this material body? There is one interesting thing. We all have that awareness inside. I am, isn't it? That experience we all have. And that awareness is the only thing that is connected directly with Krishna. Directly connected with Krishna is that awareness. Awareness, isn't it? And it is the same awareness, but what is the difference is, in our case, that awareness we are not conscious of. Krishna is completely conscious of that awareness. The same awareness is in Krishna also. Krishna also has the same awareness in him. But Krishna is fully aware all the time who he is. Whereas we are not aware of ourselves. We are aware of the body. That is our present problem. Our present situation is that we are aware of the body, we are not aware of ourselves. Krishna's case, Krishna is aware of himself, what he is, pure spirit. So same awareness is in us, awareness is there in Krishna also. And because it is this awareness that is present in us, that is present in Krishna, that the center where you have to experience Krishna is at the same place, is in that awareness. Nowhere, you cannot experience Krishna in the body. You cannot experience Krishna through your intelligence. You cannot experience Krishna through the senses. The place where you can experience Krishna is only in the consciousness or in the awareness. That's the place where you have to experience Krishna. So somehow or the other, through self-realization process, once you have awakened that center inside, which is the close direct contact with Krishna, if that place is woken up, then immediately that existence, awareness becomes a permanent thing, provided it is woken up inside. So therefore you can see that as soon as that awareness is woken up, the knowledge that emanates from that also will be permanent. That jnana, awareness or consciousness is also permanent. And that jnana or knowledge will be in your experience forever. For continuously it will be there. And when that happens, the yoga process what you are following also will become permanent. In other words, yoga, where from where you do not fall again. There is no more movement after that. No chalanam, in other words. No chalanam, in other words. So, with the result of all that is that there will be permanent shanti and satisfaction inside. All these things Krishna has spoken in the last chapter. Mama Veshyasi, Krishna says there, isn't it? Mama Veshyasi. Mama Veshyasi Yuktaiva. Atmanam Mam Parayanam, Krishna says there. So, in other words, Krishna says that always stay in that state. That is what Krishna is saying there. Almanam matparayana. In that alma stage, don't stay in the platform of the body, stay in the platform of the soul. Because Krishna says that that is my nature. Coming to Krishna's nature. Krishna's state, in other words. Krishna's state is that. That always is the platform of the soul. That is what he has spoken in that words. In that verse. Now, this next chapter, Vibhuti Yoga, Krishna is addressing here. In this Vibhuti Yoga, you will see here that that all in the beginning itself, like in the 7th and 9th chapter, Krishna spoke about the tattva, isn't it? So, the tattva was spoken, Jnana-Vijnana Yoga and Rajavidya-Rajaguha Yoga. These two chapters, Krishna spoke about the tattva, Bhagavad tattva, Krishna has spoken. Knowing very well that it is not so easy to get understanding of that tattva, Krishna decided to explain that in more depth in this 10th chapter. That is how Vibhuti Yoga has come into. But that's what he says here. Saptame adhyaye Bhagavad tattvam vibhudaycha prakashinaha maamecha. Saptama Dhyana in 7th chapter, Bhagavad Tattvam was spoken and Vibhutis were also spoken as well as in the 9th chapter. Atha, idanim yeshu yeshu bhavayashu chindyo bhagavan tete bhava vaktavyaha tattvam cha bhagavado vaktavyam uktam adi durvinyayatvad idi atha shri bhagavan vacha. Because it is durvinyayatvam, it is very difficult to understand. Durvinyayatvam means very difficult to understand. Which one? The 7th and the 9th chapter. Therefore, Krishna decided, because it is difficult to understand, he decided to expand that again in this 10th chapter. Tato, if you see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you look, you will see that this Tato, Bhagavad Tato, it is there in everybody. If you take, for example, in the 2nd chapter of the 1st canto, there, Suda Goswami says to Shaunaga Vishini, Evam Prasanna Manaso, Bhagavad Bhakti Yoga, Bhagavad Tattva Vijnana Mukta Sangasya Jayate, he says. Evam Prasanna Manaso, Bhagavad Bhakti Yogada, Bhagavad Tattva Vijnanam, Mukta Sangasya Jayate. If you take that Bhagavad verse and look at it, you will see what Krishna, what Sutta Goswami says there. Evam Prasanna Manaso Bhagavad Bhakti Yogada. It is in the second chapter, in the first canto. Bhagavad Tattva Vijnanam, Mukta Sangasya Jayate, he says. That when one is pleased with inside, Prasanna Manasa means one who is in shanti and satisfaction, peace and satisfactory stage. Prasanna Manasa, Bhagavad Bhakti Yoga, in that state, bhakti will flow from the heart. Bhakti will develop inside the heart. Bhagavad Bhakti Yoga, the result of that bhakti will be Bhagavad Tattva Vijnanam, knowledge of Krishna. Bhagavad Tattva means knowledge of the soul. All this knowledge of the self or knowledge of Krishna. Bhagavad Tattva Vijnanam. And as soon as you realize that, what will happen? Mukta Sangasya Jayate. It leads into liberation. It leads into liberation from this body. So you, what is important here is that as soon as you realize this Bhagavad Tattva, that is why Tattva Vijnanam is important. In the 7th chapter, 9th chapter, and the 10th chapter again, Krishna is explaining the Tattva Vijnanam. Tattva Jnanam is spoken for this reason. Because through Tattvam, one gets to that state. Mukta Sangasya Jayate gets released from the bodily existence. He gets released from that. Mukta Sangasya Jayate. In the beginning of Bhagavatam, you will see this. So, who will get this Tattva Jnanam? That is an important point. Again, you will see that in the second chapter, it's an important chapter. Where Krishna says there, that for whom? Who has lost attachment to this worldly topics. What was no interest in the worldly topics, worldly matters. People are always busy with the world, listening. There's a lot of things going on here. And there's a lot of things they want to know what's going on here. And people trying to find the solution to all the problems here. Those who are in that state, they will be difficult for them. Krishna says here, one who has lost all the interest in this world, or one who realizes that this world has no practically serious existence in that sense, so one who has lost that attachment to this world, for them this Tattva Jnanam becomes a lot easier for him. So, so you can see here, people have got faith in Krishna, many people have got the faith in Krishna. They go to the temple, they pay their obeisances, they circumambulate the temple, deities, and they pay their obeisances and everything. But the situation is like this, that they, although they do all these things, but still inside, you can see the difficulty, that those who say God doesn't exist, for them they will always be having doubt, does God exist? It's a very interesting thing, isn't it? Those who deny the existence of God outwardly, inside there will be always this doubt. Does God exist? Does God exist? This doubt will come. And those who believe that God exists, God exists, for them also there is, does he exist? It's a very, who plays this game? The mind. Isn't it? Mind plays this game. But out of these two, who is the better one? Who believes that God doesn't exist? Because you know why? The reason is this. He is always denying God outside. But inside that fear, his commitment to God will be much serious than those who say to others, God exists. Quite often it is like that. Because in their case, those who deny the existence of God, in them, this existence bhakti will come very forcefully in them. You can, they cannot deny that, because in the Srimad Bhagavatam also, it says like this. So, Krishna, in those who are in that state, Krishna normally gives them the, somehow the process of liberation easily. Because you can see in the case of Hiranyakashipu and others, that Krishna, because they were denying and denying and denying, Krishna decided that they should get back first. They have been denying for a long time. Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, Rama, Kumbhakarna, all of them, Shishupala, Kundalatra, all of them. Krishna showed them the favor. more. But it is not the process for us. It is, there is only, these are people who have come here with a special ticket to go in that process. But their bhakti will be stronger than us. You can see that. Hiranyakashipu was always remembering Krishna. Where is Hari? Where is Hari? Hiranyakashipu was remembering. Ravana was doing the same thing. So all these demons also, Krishna gave them liberation very quickly, sent them back. Because those who are saying that God doesn't exist, why are they saying that? Because inside they are saying, does he exist? He exists. That's why they have to prove outside that he doesn't exist. Isn't it? What are they arguing about when they say that God doesn't exist? There is a fear inside. They have a fear inside. Because therefore such people, when they do, those who are arguing outside, God doesn't exist, God doesn't exist. Sometimes they will be doing their deity worship at home. But outside, and when they are doing the deity worship, they will be saying to Krishna, I am telling outside, that's for my belly, I am doing that outside that job. That you are denying your existence. But the way they do it, although explicitly, whatever if you do in a confidential state, the force of that is more powerful than what you do in an explicit way. For example, suppose we are doing deity worship here. If I am doing deity worship, a lot of people are looking at me. I will be thinking, oh, they are watching me. And am I doing everything correctly? All these thoughts will come through the mind. All these thoughts will come through the mind. And am I doing it properly? And how the deity worship is going on. And in this way, mind will get distracted in so many places. A lot of the energy will get distributed in that way. But when they are doing confidentially at home or in a very privately, he doesn't have to give any attention to anybody, isn't it? He says to Krishna that, I am only doing this, actually I have full faith in you, but externally I have to deny your existence. That is for my profession or whatever I am doing. I may have to do that. So, and he keeps saying, that's why I am saying that you don't exist. But you should not get upset with me because I know that you exist. And that experience that you will notice when some people who are very staunch atheists, you don't know what their inside nature is. They may externally deny the existence of God, but internally there is always this fear of the existence of God disturbing them. Anybody, doesn't matter who it is, big scientists also, it's the same thing. They will deny, argue and prove, try to prove to everybody that God doesn't exist, where is the proof, this, that and the other, so many things they will argue. While doing all these things, inside there is always the fear that he exists. This fear will always be there. Whether it is the big professors from the universities who are arguing about it, isn't it? There's a lot of big atheists in the world. In the television programs you see them. Even though they are arguing all these things, inside there is always this fear. Does he exist? Does he exist? And therefore, they have more Shraddha than us. Our Shraddha is all in the world. Whereas by constantly denying his existence all the time, they become more focused on Krishna. They become more focused on Krishna. And this is the difference. This is what I am saying. Atheists have a better chance of getting release from this material body than us. We are such good people that further whether it exists, don't exist, it doesn't matter. This is our problem. We are not serious people, in other words. At least they are serious in denying Krishna. Because they are like that. They have this possibility that they are always thinking about Krishna. So they are denying Krishna's existence, isn't it? So, because Bhagavan Tattva Vijnanam Mukta Sangasya Jayate. If the Tattva is properly revealed to them, Mukta Sangasya Jayate says here. So, the absolute solution, Krishna is saying here, that paramarthika means absolute level. is that perfection inside of realizing the truth. Realizing that is the only answer to all the problems. And that perfection of that realization is called Ishvara. Is called Ishvara. Ishvara, normally when we say Ishvara or God, we have some conception, an old person with a white long beard and a hat sitting up somewhere there. How old is he? We don't know. And what is he doing there? We don't know. We have all these concepts in our head because of our identification with the body. So it is only on that platform you are denying the existence of God based on this understanding that God is someone who exists somewhere there looking at us. But practically even scientists, most of the scientists, very difficult, all of them after all, they are intelligent people, they are not stupid. They can think. And they can also see that a creation cannot like this cannot manifest like this without any proper intelligence behind it. And they know very well that they don't know where it is, they are not able to prove it to anybody. But with their own logic and reason, they can see that there is a higher power working behind all this creation. So therefore they find it difficult, but because everything has to be proved on a personal level, it becomes very difficult for them to prove it. And because they are not able to prove it, they keep on denying its existence. That is what is happening. Because they can't prove it, so therefore they will keep on denying it. But inside the heart, there is always this fear, does he exist? Does he exist? Actually, the other problem is, they know that somebody is there, that some force, some power behind everything else. Does not know whether it is man or woman. And in many religions, they have difficulty to accept that power as feminine, isn't it? Most of the religions will not accept that. Whereas in the Vedic tradition, it can be feminine as well. It can be feminine as well. This big problem is there. So some people can only see God as a man. They can't see it as a woman. Whereas in the Vedic tradition, it is not like that. That we have the worship of Devi. Shivarvati is worshipped as the absolute truth. Just like Krishna is worshipped as the absolute truth in the same way. So for others, they find it difficult to give that feminine character, nature, to the absolute truth. Because somehow or the other, that human tendency don't leave us very easily. So, they are trying in different ways to bring that, in different ways, style means feminine, masculine, feminine, and without any masculine or feminine, then, in that way. And that tattvam is what matters to us, Ishvara tattvam. In other words, that tattvam that exists. Whether it is man, woman, all these things, it is mentioned in the Bhagavatam like this. If you have looked into Bhagavatam, you will see there. In the 8th canto, when Gajendra spoke, he talked about this. Because this question comes all the time. Sometimes people ask, how do you know? Feminists will ask, how do you know the God is a man? Isn't it? They will ask, they have right to ask that question. Have you seen God is a man? If you ask that question, what will you answer that? So that is why, when Gajendra spoke to Krishna, what did he say about this? He says there, that in the 3rd chapter if you look, in the 8th canto, there is a verse there, 24th verse. Savaina deva suram apya dinyan na stri na shando na woman na jindu. Savaina deva suram apya dinyan na stri, na shando, na puman, na jantu, na yanguna, karma, na sanna, chasam, nishesha, desho, jeta, ashesha. This is how Gajendra mentions there. Gajendra's prayers, this is. In the Bhagavatam, if you, Gajendra Vacha, you will see in the 3rd chapter. He wants to define the truth. This is how he defines the truth. Savaina deva asura matya tinyam na stri, na shando, na woman, na jandu. He is not a man, he is not a woman, he is not a shanda. Shanda means eunuch, isn't it? Na jandu, he is not an animal. Na yam gunakha karma, na sanna jasam nisheda shesha jayadan, ashesha. He is not a demigod, he is not a human being, he is not an animal, he is not a woman, he is not a man. And he is not a bird, he is not a beast, nothing. And whatever you have in your imagination, he is none of that. Whatever you have in your imagination, he is none of that. Then what is he? What is he then? He says, Nisheda Shesho Jayadala Shesha. If you keep saying, not this, not this, not this, not this, if you reject everything, then what remains? That's him. What does that mean? If you keep on saying, not this, not this, not this, not this, none of this, then who remains? The person who is rejecting all these things, he remains. That's him. That means awareness, consciousness. That's what he is. This is how Vijendra defines that. He says, Savaina deva sura martya tinya, na stri, na shando, na puman, na jandu, nayam gunaha karma, na sanna chasam nisheda shesho, nisheda shesho, jeda ashesho. After rejecting everything, nisheda means continuously saying, not this, not this, not this. Nisheda shesho, jeda ashesho. What remains that? That's him. What remains is that him. That means yourself, you are rejecting everything else. He is not man, he is not woman, he is not demigod, he is not human species. Deva, he is not a demon. Asura, martya, tirya, bird. And na stri, female. Na shando, eunuch. Na puman, man. Na jandu, animal. None of these. Nayam gunaha karmasa sanna chasam. That neither no gunam you can impose upon him, no karma you can impose upon him. Gunam and karma also you cannot attribute to him. So if you take up everything, finally what remains? That's him. And what is that remains finally? The person who is denying everything. Who is that? Alma inside. Isn't it? That awareness is from everything is coming. That awareness is here. This is how you have to understand that verse. So here, Nishesha, that's the important line there. Nisheda Shesho Jayadat Ashesha. Nisheda Shesho Jayadat Ashesha. That is how Gajendra says this. Nishetha means to reject everything. Reject everything. Not this, not this, not this. None of this. So, that awareness that remains, because it is from the awareness that negation comes. Everything, isn't it? Consciousness, in other words. And that is his Surupa. That is his form. That is Krishna's form. That is Krishna's form. And that will happen to him. He will experience that. And once that has happened, then you will know that everything is that consciousness. Everything is that awareness. And there is no other truth apart from him. Therefore, you will see this in the Islam religion, they say Allah, 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 isn't it? So the Sufis, they had a one of the denominations of the Muslims community. They say in there, Anahul Haq, they say. This Anahul Haq means, once they are saying it, Aham Brahmasmi, in another form. They are accepting that. And so one person who has repeatedly said this, the local the leader, the king, he got upset with him for saying this Anahul Haq. And because Anahul Haq is another way of Aham Brahmasmi, it is. In another form it is spoken like that in their language, whatever that was. So when he kept on repeating this, they took him to the court and what do they say? Interrogated him in the court. And why do you, they questioned him, why do you talk against our religion? They said to him. They said to him. So, but he was finding it very difficult because after realizing Aham Brahmasmi, he couldn't deny that existence, that consciousness is me. He has completely released you from the body. And he kept on repeating that. But what has happened at the end? They took the spear and killed him. Even while leaving the body, he said, then who are they killing? To some extent he was realized within himself that he understood that this killing and all is a relationship with the body, isn't it? The vastu inside cannot be killed. If you have realized that, where is the question of killing anybody? It is not possible to kill someone. Killing, that happens to the body. So, this is a very interesting subject because this birth and death is a topic every day we discuss. We celebrate birthday parties and funerals and everything. In Krishna's eyes, all this is a waste of time. Because Krishna is saying to us, whose death are you celebrating? Or whose birth are you celebrating? Whose death are you mourning? Krishna is asking this question to us. In the Bhagavad Gita also, that's what he is doing. He says here that actually when realization comes, when Lord Jesus Christ, when he was also crucified, the same question came up from him. That they do not know what they are doing, he said. They are thinking that they are killing me, but they cannot kill me, he said. They cannot kill me. And so you can see that in all these great jnanis, realized souls, they are everywhere in the world. They were born at different times in different situations. And like Jesus was born in the same way, with that knowledge of the self in him. Therefore, even after torturing, killing everything, it did not have any influence on the person because inside he is seeing the truth, experiencing the truth. In that state he finds it difficult to accept this mundane torture, mundane dealings with him. So, in all religions, jnanis are born and there are people. But what is the difference is that based on that process of knowledge, jnanamagam, or based on which a particular samskara or a culture that is developed only in the Vedic philosophy. That is the difference. Jnanis are born in different places in the world. But based on this jnanamagam or the process of the knowledge, a proper development of a philosophy and tattva-jnanam and many realized souls in that tradition, that has only happened in the Vedic tradition. That is the difference, you will see this. If you compare with other religious philosophies also. So, and a lifestyle, completely accepting that way of life, is existent in the Vedic traditions. So when that Bhagavad Tattva Vijnanam, you can see many of our Vedic literature, when you look at it, you will see this. A continuous stream of people who followed this process of Tattva Vijnanam and realizing the truth in that way and living a life like that in this world for a very long period of time. Like in the Bhagavad, you have four or five examples like that, isn't it? Shukamana Mushi, Rishabhadev, Jadabharata, Dattatreya, and so on and so forth. So many like that. Apart from that, if you look into all the other great sages also, Vishwamitra, Vasishtha, and Bharadvaja, Atri, Angirasya, Pulasya, Pradhu, Bhrigu, all of them. So all these personalities, they developed that tradition very well of the process of knowledge, and they lived and realized their truth and lived in that way. And that samskaram has developed. Therefore, Krishna says here, Bhagavad Tattva Vijnanam, and that we are not separate from them. Krishna is saying there, in this chapter introduction, what Krishna puts into us, the first understanding is this. The beginning of this chapter, if you look, you will see. The first understanding Krishna wants to put into us is this. So, if you realize that you are not separated from the truth, like they have realized through the process of knowledge. If you realize that, then Krishna says, Bhagavad Tattva becomes very easy. You will see that in the first verse itself. If you look, you will see there. Bhuye eva mahabaho shrunume paranam vacha yateham priyamanaya vachyami hivarameya. That is the verse, isn't it? So, Krishna says, Krishna says, I have spoken so much before, prior to this chapter. I have spoken a lot before that. Should I not stop now saying this further? Krishna says. He says, no. Bhuya eva shrunu punaha. Hear this again. Krishna said to Arjuna. Hear this again. Mahabaho. Mahabaho means one who is very powerful and strong in arms. In other words, one who can fight with anyone. That nature is in him. In other words, a successful person, in other words. So, you can see here, when one becomes successful in one's field, doesn't matter which it is, what it is, whether in your profession, or in sports, or music, or politics, or business, or whatever it is, in one's own field, if one becomes successful, in a very subtle level, there will be an ego, will develop in that person, isn't it? You think that I am doing everything, and if I don't do it, nothing will work, nothing will happen properly. This ego will come very strongly in a person. It is a very natural thing. So, so at that point, that person doesn't think where the power is coming from. For the reason for his success, he doesn't think that, isn't it? He thinks that he has got that power in him and that ego will develop inside him. But actually, Krishna is saying to us that one thing, now this is why Krishna has addressed this word here, Mahabaho. That's the story behind that. That Krishna is trying to tell Arjuna in a very subtle level, Arjuna, that power what you are having is not yours. It is, I have released that through you. But Arjuna is not thinking like that. Arjuna is thinking it is his power. Like we all think, isn't it? Even in a very small level, we also think the same thing. But Krishna is saying to Arjuna, that power what you feel yourself, you got it, it's not yours. I have released it from inside. I have released it from inside. In order to say that is this chapter. When we go through this chapter, you will see this. Krishna is saying to Arjuna, if you are thinking that power what you have got is yours, your power, it's a misunderstanding. It's not yours. I have sitting inside you, I have released that power through you. And you started thinking that it's yours. To make that point very clear, this whole chapter was spoken. We'll come to that, we'll see that when you go through this, each one of them. So, because at the end, Krishna called Arjuna while leaving the planet. You know that. He called Arjuna there. Uddhava was there. He gave Ekadashi Skandam, the knowledge of Ekadashi, to Uddhava. And then he called Arjuna there. And he says to Arjuna, Krishna was 125 years. Arjuna was also very close to that age. And this has happened after many years, after the Mahabharata war. And Yudhishthira Maharaj has become the emperor. And he has been on the throne for a very long time. Krishna says to Arjuna, look at this, Arjuna. He says, the time has come. All my relations, my sons, grandsons and family members, all of them, they will beat up each other and they will die. This is in the Mahabharata, you will see this. They will beat up each other and they will kill all of them, each other. Nobody will be left. Krishna says to Arjuna, nobody will be left. There will be a few women in Dwaraka. And what you could do, please look after them. Take them to Hastinapur with you. And take them to Hastinapur with you. He says to them. He says to Arjuna. And handed over everything to Arjuna to look after. Handed over everything to Arjuna to look after them. And Arjuna took them on the chariot. And he was going there to Hastinapur at that time. Arjuna was thinking, In his mind, he was thinking like this, that Krishna has left us. He was feeling a little bit of unhappiness, misery, miserable feeling. Such a long association he had. See, feeling like that. But although he was feeling that distress inside, he was feeling a little happiness also. Do you know why? He felt happiness because, after all, Krishna has given me this responsibility of looking after these women. Like, he has given me this responsibility. And that means Krishna trusts me about my ability. That's how his mind went in that direction. So, and I also felt that at least I was able to do some help for Krishna at this time in my life, even though he has left this world. So, and thinking all that, Arjuna is going with them through the forest and traveling to Hastinapur. At that time, what has happened was that, you have to remember, who is Arjuna? He has fought with the Lord Shiva and won, isn't it? And that is how he got Pashupatastram from Shiva. And many, many great personalities, Arjuna has fought and won. So Arjuna's position, Arjuna knows who he is, his state, he is conscious of that. And it was said that in the forest, a bunch of hunters came and they started attacking Arjuna. Arjuna took his Gandivam from his bow, and when he tried to lift it, he couldn't lift it. He couldn't lift the Gandivam. Eventually, with a lot of effort, when he picked it up, and he wanted to shoot the arrows, he couldn't remember any of the mantra, what has to go with the arrow. He couldn't remember any of them. Completely confused Arjuna was when this happened to him. And none of them, so he lost. And that hunters who came there, they took away all the women and they left. Arjuna had to go alone to Hastinapur. Actually, there's another reason behind it why this happened, because when Krishna has wound up the pastimes, these are gopis who have come from the spiritual world. And if their husbands who had come in the form of these hunters who took them away back to the spiritual world, they went back. This is another aspect to that. But Arjuna felt at that time that I am useless, he started feeling. Why? Initially he started thinking, I am very capable. But in a very few minutes after this fight with the hunters, Arjuna realized I am very useless. He started thinking like that. So they took away everybody and they went away. And it was like what happened then. So, if you look into the first canto, Arjuna mentions this. If you look at it, in the first canto, what does Krishna say? Arjuna says about that. In the 15th chapter, in the first canto, he says, Arjuna mentions this. Tadvai dhanustum dhanusta kishavasya ratho hayaste soham radhi nirpadayo yadamanamandim sarvam kshanena tadabu rasadi shariktam vasman hutam uhagaratami voptam ushyam tadvai dhanusta kishavasya ratho hayaste soham radhi nirpadayo yadamanamandim sarvam kshanena tadabu rasadi shariktam Vasman hodam uhagaratami voptamushyam. Krishna Arjuna says there that everything, what has changed? Arjuna says, in the war in the Kurukshetra, while the war was going on, I am having the same chariot here. And that Gandivam, which I have used for in the battle, Gandivam is also there. And the same horses are pulling the chariot. And the same person, I'm fighting this battle. And when I was fighting the war, people were coming to me and paying their respects to me. And that Arjuna is sitting here in the chariot. Only one thing what is missing here is that charioteer. Who was in the chariot then? Only that charioteer is missing here. Only that seat is vacant. The charioteer's seat is vacant. And it is proving to Arjuna that only the charioteer in that whole thing is the satta. Everything else is asatta. Is it not? In that chariot, that's the point. Krishna is making this, Bhagavatam is saying to us, in that chariot, the only Sat was Krishna. And that's the defective now. The remaining everything else is Asat. And that is why he is recognizing here that everything is empty, everything is failed. Till now I thought that all the power is my power. Now I have understood Asat has no power. You know, when you read Bhagavad Gita, that chapter, Bhagavad Gita you have to see in the background of Kathopanishad, isn't it? What does Kathopanishad say? Indriyani paranyahu. That indriyam, senses are the horses. Mind is the rein. The body is the chariot. The intelligence is the charioteer. That verse is there in the Krishna Prabhupada's quoted there also. In the Kathopanishad verses into. It is on that background. That is brought up into the story in this way, saying that same person who was in that seat of the charioteer, intelligence, when that is gone, that chariot is useless. Charity is useless. Arjuna has lost everything. Asat has no reality. This is the point that they are making. Asat has no reality. Sat is the only reality. Krishna is the only reality. Chariot is not reality. Arjuna is not reality. Krishna is reality. Horses are not reality. Nothing is reality. Krishna is the reality. That's the point that's coming through that. That is what Arjuna is. But in the story form, when it is spoken like this. So that is why it mentions here that you see here that Arjuna realized it. That everything is gone. When Sat is gone, everything is gone. Sat is gone, everything is gone. So that is in the base of that only Krishna says here that Yadevi Sarvabhudeshu Shakti Rupena Samstita. There is a verse in the Devi Bhagavatam, he says, that Supreme Truth, who in the form of Shakti, energy, who is present in everyone, Yadevi Sarvabhudeshu Shakti Rupena Samstita. So that Shakti, that Mahabaho, Krishna Arjuna calls Arjuna as Mahabaho, that Mahabaho Arjuna has now realized that he is not a Mahabaho. When Krishna has withdrawn from there, he is not a Mahabaho anymore. And in this whole chapter, Krishna is pointing out to us, in Krishna's absence, no, nothing is big in this world. Whenever you see anything anywhere, a great opulence, we have to recognize Krishna's presence there, not attribute to that person who has it. That is the point here. And that is that, to show to us that, is this Vibhuti Yoga. Vibhuti Yoga is that. Because normally we say, pride, abhimanam, isn't it? Or ahankriti. That when pride or ego completely goes away from inside, Krishna manifests. In other words, so long as pride or ego is inside, Krishna cannot manifest there. So that is what is called a vibhuti. Vibhuti means when in someone the complete ego disappears from inside, or ahankriti, or ahambhav, ahankara, whichever way you call it. When that completely disappears, when Krishna manifests there, that is called vibhuti. That is the word vibhuti means. Vibhuti means that when in someone, in a jiva, completely that ego has gone from inside. And when Krishna then Krishna manifests there. And when Krishna manifests there, that is called vibhuti. That is called vibhuti. Therefore, in the Vishnu Sahasranama, there is a word, Advayasya Anahamkrute. Krishna's position is like that. Anahamkrute. Anahamkrute means no ego. Krishna has no ego. We have egos. Krishna doesn't have an ego like we have. That is why Krishna says Krishna is willing to do anything, isn't it? When Arjuna says to Krishna, like a driver, he was telling him, drive me in the chariot there, drive me here, drive me there. Krishna says, yes, I'll do that. That is Krishna. Why? There is no ego inside, isn't it? In Rajasuyam, what happened? When all duties were assigned to different people, Duryodhana, Karna, and many others, Krishna says, what's my duty? He says to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Yudhishthira Maharaj didn't know what to say. Eventually, Yudhishthira Maharaj thought that at least let me give the this service to Krishna, to look after all the guests. That was the service to Krishna. Krishna said, this is the best service I have. Why? They are receiving guests is in a different way, not like the way we receive guests. Krishna received the guests. All these great sages came one after the other. Great, great personalities. Vasishtha, Vishwamitra, Parashuram, and Bharadwaj, Gautama, Kapila. Like that, many, many great sages came for Rajasuyam. Krishna brings the water, washes their feet personally, every one of them. Why? Anaham Krade. Advayasya, Anaham Krade. No ego inside. Absolutely no ego. This is Krishna. Difficult for us to understand, isn't it? We will say, oh, this is Krishna. Why Krishna is doing all these things? Can you not get somebody else to do it for you? No. That is the difference. That is the difference. And that Anaham Krade, Sasam says, Advayasya, Anaham Krade. In Krishna's mind, there is no duality. In our mind, there is duality, higher and lower. He is the boss or the chef, he is a worker. This is the way we are thinking. Krishna doesn't think like that. For Krishna, all of us are same. Whether it's the president or the prime minister, whether the man on the street, they are all same. That is Krishna. So that is what he is saying here. When he says to Arjuna, Mahabaho, it is also to reminding us, this Mahabahu's Mahabahu all failed at one point. He realized Mahabahu is not anymore Mahabahu. Mahabahu was changed, lost its power at one point. And that realization came to Arjuna. That realization came to Arjuna. In other words, so that is why it mentions here in the commentary, Prakrishnam Niradishaya Vastina Prakashanam Vachaha Vakyam. What does that mean? Then, by hearing what, you will be able to realize that truth, which you cannot realize by your sadhana, or by your karma. Neither through your sadhana, or through your karma, you cannot realize that truth I am going to talk to you. Krishna is saying to Arjuna. Through sadhana you won't realize it, nor through your karma you will be able to realize it. Neither prakrishnam niradishaya vastuna prakashakam vajaha vakyam yad paramam tetubhyam priyamanaya. Only you are able to realize it because Krishna decided to release that realization to him, to Arjuna. So, in other words, he says here, neither through your karma nor through your effort, that truth which you will not be able to realize, but like a lightning, by Krishna's grace, it can be realized. Like a lightning, it can be realized. And that news, that realization, is what is called Paramam Vacha. The word Krishna uses there, Paramam Vacha. Paramam Vacha means, Shrunu me Paramam Vacha. He says, hear from me this higher truth and realize it. By Krishna's grace, you will realize it. This cannot be realized through sadhana. It cannot be realized through by karma, by effort, by your effort. That thing which cannot be realized by sadhana, which cannot be realized through karma, hear that from me and realize it, Krishna says. Shrunu me paramam vacha. Shrunu me paramam vacha. That ultimate truth which I am going to speak to you, realize that, Krishna says to him. So it is the same principle in Yanamargam, it is the same way that it works. A spiritual master, when he instructs his fully mature disciple about the absolute truth, it is the same way the tattva is transmitted to him. So, the disciple may not have acquired the necessary qualifications for the realization. May not have acquired the necessary qualifications. But the spiritual master has decided that it should go in. If he is in that realized state, and if he speaks like that, then it will have its effect. Because that is why Krishna says here, give it full attention. Shrutami paramam vaja bhuyayeva mahabaho. That hear with attention and it will work, Krishna says, because Krishna is speaking. And if it is Krishna speaking, or whether Shiva Brahma Maharshi is speaking, Vedavyasa Maharshi is speaking, it's the same thing. It's not different. They all have the same capacity because they are realized souls. So when they speak, it will have its effect. So, and therefore, why Krishna has put it as this? By saying in this way, Arjuna will develop that bhakti towards Krishna. Because when somebody says to you that I'm going to tell you something very important, then you will give that attention to it, isn't it? You will become more attentive. Seriousness will come to you. So, Krishna is saying, Arjuna, become serious and listen to this. It will have its effect on you. With this introduction, Krishna begins the chapter. So, actually, those who are listening, they may not know this sometimes. They may not know this principle. So, you can see between this relationship between Krishna and Arjuna also, right up to the Mahabharata war, they have met many times. They have spent many, many years together in the forest, in the palace, and in different places. They have lived together. Why did Krishna not speak Bhagavad Gita to him till then? This question will come, isn't it? Why did he wait till this Mahabharata war, when it happened? Krishna was quite advanced in age. He was very close to 80, 85 years old. When Mahabharata war happened, 30, 40 years before Krishna's departure, Mahabharata war happened. And they knew each other right from the early age, from childhood. So from there you can see, 60, 70 years they were together. Krishna never talked about Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. Only at the appropriate time, when he noticed that Arjuna is ready, right to receive the message, he delivered the message to him. And that's the only time Krishna felt the need to speak the truth to Arjuna. And the same thing, after many years, after Mahabharata war, after the war was over, one day when they were going together, Arjuna asked Krishna, you remember you told me a few verses when we were in the battlefield. Can you say that again? In a very casual tone, he asked Krishna. It is in the Mahabharata, you will see this. Krishna says to Arjuna, just like sometimes if you know someone who sings very well, and you met him and he says, oh, can you sing that song for me? In a similar way, something similar to that, he says to him. So similarly, Arjuna asked to Krishna also, can you tell me that what you told me in that Mahabharata war? Krishna says to him, that Arjuna who wanted to hear Bhagavad Gita at that time, that Arjuna is not there anymore. And because Arjuna is not there, that Arjuna is not there, that Krishna is also not there. Actually, what made Arjuna, Krishna to speak like that? It is that Arjuna's maturity at that time pulled Bhagavad Gita out of Krishna. It came out of Krishna in that way, due to Arjuna's situation at that time. Arjuna was in that state, the way he asked that, Shishyasyaham Shadimam Tvam Pradhanam, that surrender, that grief inside, the distress inside, and the control, and this doubt, what should I do in my life? That confusion inside, what Arjuna was having. All that has created surrender in Arjuna to Krishna. And he asked that question in the proper way. And the result was that Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. But here, now they are walking together, just on an evening walk. And Arjuna is saying to Krishna, that can you tell me all that what you told me that day? Krishna says, that Arjuna who asked me that question is not there today. And therefore that Krishna is also not there, he said. That Krishna is not, doesn't exist. This is how Krishna says, therefore I can't remember what I said. That's how he answered that. So Bhagavad Gita is like that. You cannot reproduce it like a textbook. So, in the similar way, you will see the Srimad Bhagavatam also, that when Arjuna is a devotee, similarly another devotee, Uddhava comes. And there also, in another way, Krishna explains the same thing to them. That means, sannyasa margam, or the process of sannyasa, yoga margam, all the instructions for the jnanis, all of this, Krishna, they say in the Bhagavatam, Shukra Brahma Rishi says, Bhagavadaya Bhashitam. If you look into Bhagavatam, you will see that. That in the 11th canto, when finishing this Ekadashi Skandam, Krishna used, there Shukra Brahma Rishi uses the word, Bhagavadaya Bhashitam, he says. Bhagavadaya Bhashitam. Why is it Bhagavadaya Bhashitam? After Uddhava has left. Uddhava left Krishna. Uddhava has gone to Badrinath. And Krishna is also leaving this world. And when Uddhava left, Sudeva Goswami says this, Ya eda ananda samudra sambhradam yanamudam bhagavadaya bhashitam. 48th verse in the 29th chapter. Ya eda ananda samudra sambhradam. What Krishna has given to Uddhava was ananda samudra sambhradam. He says, ananda means this knowledge of the self. That's where anandam comes. What we get in this world is sukha. Anandam comes from the self, from the knowledge of the self. That ananda samudra sambhradam. That summation of all that anandam samudram is ya edad ananda samudra sambhradam, which is Ekadasi Skandam, which is jnanamradam. It is a nectar of knowledge, isn't it? Jnanamradam means nectar of knowledge. And who has spoken? Bhagavadaya Bhashitam. Krishna, Bhagavan has spoken. Then knowledge. Krishnena Yogeshwara Sevitangrino Sevitangrina Sakshadaya Sevya Jagat Vimuchyane. He says, Krishnena Bhagavadaya Bhashitam. For whose sake? Bhagavada's sake. Who is that Bhagavada here? Uddhava. For Uddhava saying, Bhagavan has spoken, Krishna has spoken this Jnanamadam, Bhagavataya Bhashitam. You can see the same similarity between Arjuna and Krishna and Uddhava and Krishna here. When Arjuna was surrendered to Krishna, like you see in the second chapter, Shishyasteham Shadimam Tvam Pravennam, and fell at Krishna's feet, asking for shelter. That's what Arjuna did, isn't it? He surrendered completely. At that time, this knowledge woke up and came out from Krishna. Which one? Bhagavad Gita. Similarly, in this situation here, from Uddhava, that great devotee, when he surrendered to Krishna, in the same way, jnanena jnanamrutam bhagavadaya bhashitam, because he is Bhagavadam, he is Bhagavad, Bhagavad means pure devotee of Krishna. For whose sake? Krishnena Yogeshwara Sevidangrina. Krishna, who is Yogeshwara, from him this Sashraddhaya Seva Jagat Vimuchyare. If anybody takes this message seriously, he gets released from here. Sashraddhaya Seva Jagat Vimuchyare. It is a whole liberation for the whole world. That knowledge was given to whom? To Uddhava. To Uddhava. A very similar to what happened between Krishna and Arjuna and Krishna and Uddhava. These are very beautiful examples of the relationship between the spiritual master and the devotee. So, disciple's case, then he is fully ready and he has surrendered properly. But the process of surrender, it came to the point. And that brings out from that knowledge from the spiritual master. It is the surrender of the disciple that makes the spiritual masters to release the knowledge to the disciple. No, in a very subtle level, that's how it happens. That's all. It's not something asking question and getting answer. It has no meaning. Asking question, getting answer. We think spiritual life is asking question, getting answer, isn't it? This is that relationship. Let us understand that subtlety of that. That Arjuna surrendered there. And the surrender was so good that Krishna was forced to speak. It came out from Krishna in a natural way. Krishna says, if you are asking me at this time, the mood is not right. So I cannot answer you that. Similarly here, Krishna says, Jnanamrutam etat ananda samudra samrutam jnanamrutam bhagavadaya bhashanam. That pure devotee Uddhava, he goes to Krishna and says to him with full love and relation and surrender, show me the way, what should I do? And when he asks like that, and I cannot stay separated from you. When Uddhava said like this, this instruction of Ekadashi Skandam or Uddhava Gita, that has come from that. From that relationship, Uddhava Gita has come. That is why it's mentioned here. Ya edad ananda samudra samvadam yanavadam bhagavadaya bhashinam krishnena yogeshwara sevidankena sachadhyaya sevi jagar vimuchyade. And who says this? Shiva Brahmashi says this about that relationship between Krishna and Uddhava. So, what does he understand from that? In order to get the milk from the cow, you have to know how to milk. Isn't it? You do? Milk the cow. To get the cow, everybody cannot milk the cow. Can he? Suppose you have no knowledge of how to milk the cow. If you start milking the cow, what do the cow do? The cow give you a kick and your milking will be finished with that. So, there is a way of milking that relationship with the cow. How to develop that connection with the cow. And cow, naturally depending on the man who is milking the cow. Nowadays it's all different, isn't it? It's all connecting the tube and the pipes and switching on. And it's a different. But traditionally, those men who are milking the cow, depending on the person's relationship with the cow, some cows will give more milk, depending on the milkman who is milking it. Because there is a rapport between the milkman and the cow. Similarly, that rapport has to happen between the spiritual master and the disciple. Only then this will happen. This is the point it's mentioned here. So, here, because otherwise milk won't come. Otherwise milk won't come. Similarly, this knowledge, transcendental knowledge is like that. It comes out because who is releasing the knowledge? Krishna is releasing the knowledge sitting inside everybody. Isn't it? Even in the space of spiritual master also. The knowledge is released by the Antaryami inside. And the other person's heart, that Antaryami has to prepare that person for that. Only then this Antaryami from the other person, from the teacher, spiritual master, it gets released. That is how it happens. So that's why, otherwise it will not come out. Here, Arjuna is in that stage. Therefore, he says, Shrunume paramam vaja, Krishna says. Krishna is in a happy state. That's why those words are coming like this. Shrunume paramam vaja. Why I'm saying this, he says, Yateham priyamanaya, because you are very dear to me. If Krishna says to someone, you are very dear to me, it means something, isn't it? It's not like the way we say to others, oh, you are very dear to me. And the next day you put the knife in. But this is all very dear to me. But when Krishna says, it is not like that. Krishna says, the Devriyamanaya, he means that. So you are very dear to me, Krishna says to Arjuna. That Devriyamanaya, Vachyami Hitagamyaya. Therefore I will tell you what is good for you. Saying like this, Krishna is saying this. So, Devriyamanaya, Vachyami Devriyamanaya. So there, Amrutam, and then he says, Priya, Mat Vachanat, by my words, Krishna, Priya se tvam ativa amrutam iva viban. Drink this nectar, Krishna says to Arjuna. Drink this nectar. Tado vakshyami hidaramaya hitecheya. Vakshyami hidaramaya. So, because I can see that you are hearing Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says to Arjuna, you are hearing Bhagavad Gita very seriously. Therefore, I love it that you are hearing it in this way. Therefore, I like you and I am going to tell you more, he says. And because of when somebody is hearing very attentively, naturally the speaker also feels that need to speak properly to the things, isn't it? Hidagamyam. And Hidagamya means I expect that good things should happen to you, auspicious things happens to you. Hidagamyam. There is no mention of the Vachyoham. Yateham Priyamanaya Vachyami Hidagamyam. Hidagamyam. Have you noticed the word there? Priyamanaya Vachyami Hidagamyam. What Krishna wants is Hidam, not Priyam. See the difference there? He wants Hitam. Hitam means what's good for him. Not what is Priyam, what will please you. Because I am pleased with you, Krishna says to Arjuna, I am saying something which will be Hitam for you. Remember, we discussed this before also. We should not do anything for anyone because there is Priyam. Things should be done for others because there is Hitam. That is the principle, like in the case of parents to the children and all that. What is Hitam one should do, what is Priyam one should not do. Exactly like the way Krishna is doing to Arjuna. Krishna says to Arjuna, Yateham Priyamanaya Vachyami Hitakamyaya. Because what is Hitam for you, I know. Because I am pleased with you, Priyamanaya, I will tell you Vachyami Hitakamyaya, what is Hitam for you. That is the way to understand that. Vachyami Hitakamyaya. So just like you can see here, so this Priyamanaya Vachyami Hitakamyaya, for example, sometimes you can see people speak in such a way, make a lot of jokes from different books and make entertain people in Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavad classes, I'm saying. You can do that, but that is not Hitam. That is only entertainment. That's only entertainment. And you may hear that and you laugh a lot and then you will go home and you will go home happy. But and people will say, oh, it was very nice, everything was very good, jokes, plenty of jokes they will say. But for them it doesn't matter what was spoken. Subject is not important. And this much we have to understand that to entertain people and to keep them satisfied and earn a big name, it is very easy if you talk about the material subjects in this world, isn't it? Topics of material life in this world. If you discuss that, people get very pleased with that. They enjoy that, hearing that. Because what we understand is the topics of the world. What we understand is the topics of the world. So if we keep on talking about different topics in this world, everybody feels happy about it. Oh, it's nice to enjoy listening, talking about it, isn't it? But as soon as you start talking about Brahma Vidya, spiritual knowledge, people say, oh, it's boring. It's boring. Nothing, I can't understand anything. It's somewhat boring. Abstract, they say. It's all abstract, high philosophy, and things like that. So here, Krishna is saying here, Hitakamyam. Hitakamyam means, just like you go to a doctor, and you say to the doctor, that in a piece of paper you write all the medicines what you want, and you tell the doctor, these are the medicines I want. And the doctor will say, why did you come to me then? You should go to a pharmacy, isn't it? Why you come to me? So in the same way, here, between Krishna and Arjuna, Krishna is saying to him, because you are come to me with the right understanding that I should tell you what you should do. That surrender is there. Therefore Krishna says to him that only if a patient has this full conviction that he, like a patient goes to a doctor with this understanding, I want to cure my illness. Therefore I come to you. In the similar way, Shastram says also that a spiritual master should have no expectations from any disciple. Only then this transcendental knowledge will flow. Otherwise it won't. This is a very basic principle in the spiritual knowledge, spiritual life. That all other subjects, for example, physics, chemistry and all that, the teacher who is teaching that subject, doesn't matter what subject, he can transfer that knowledge to you. All other subjects he can transfer it to you. Because his expectation is that he wants his money, salary or job, whatever he is doing, isn't it? So he is doing that to you. On that basis you can take it, you can deliver that knowledge, what he wants to give it to you, and he takes the money from you. So, and he gets his salary. Therefore he is working. And according to his sincerity, he may give it to you the way you will get that knowledge or understanding he will teach you. And he is working for that. And you are get to understand that knowledge in that way. With that business is over, isn't it? In the material topics it is like that. But in this particular Brahmavidya, this is why I am saying this, because these words Krishna has spoken with a lot of thoughts behind it. When Krishna is saying this, it's not just like an ordinary conversation between Krishna and Arjuna. Krishna is saying here that if you have any expectations, you see, when Krishna says to him, Shruve Paramam Vaja, Yateha Priyamanaya Vakshyami Hitakameya. In other words, if Krishna had any expectations from Arjuna, material expectations in other words, then it will not flow. This knowledge will not work. So therefore he says to here, this knowledge will not work. Because it will have, if there is any trace of any expectations, in that case, all the thoughts, the words, the message, everything will be influenced by that impurity. Impurity. This is how pure the knowledge of the self is. Only in the case of self-knowledge, only in the case of Brahmavidya. Brahmavidya, if the guru has any kind of expectation from a disciple, materially, material level, or any desire, for example, there can be money, there can be fame, there can be all sorts of desires if a spiritual master has, and he is expecting something from the disciple, in which case this knowledge will not work. This is a fundamental principle. It's a very important principle also, that spiritual knowledge will only work. It's not due to the personality involved. It's due to this principle that what yasteham priyamanaya, that without any desire, without any expectation, Krishna is pleased with Arjuna. In a similar way, when a disciple has a relationship with the spiritual master, and the spiritual master is feeling totally pleased with the disciple, without any expectation from him, it is at that time this message will flow. The message will flow freely from him. So, otherwise, if there is a trace of any desire or expectation from the part of the spiritual master, then that message, his thoughts, his words, everything will be influenced by that desire in him. Desire in him. That is why we are saying that when you take initiation and all that, you got to be very careful. If you go and take from someone who has got a lot of desires and other things, you are accepting all that with the initiation. With the initiation everything will come to you. So, just like in a water tank, suppose some insect or fly fell into that and it died in that water, then the whole water needs to be thrown out, isn't it? You can't use that water. Similarly, if there is the slightest motivation inside a person, this hitakamaya won't come. You see how important it is? If there is the slightest trace of motivation inside a person and he is giving initiation to anyone, you can take it that all he is a loser, not a gainer. That person is only taking all his baggage through his initiation. So instead of getting the pure message, Brahma Vidya won't happen, all other vidyas will come. All other other Vidyas will come. That is why this word is so important. Hidanameya, Krishna is saying. Hidanameya. Because it becomes only Hidanameya only when there is not any expectation inside, any kind of motivation inside. If there is the slightest motivation or expectation inside, it is not possible Hidanameya. Hidanameya is not possible. Hidanameya is not possible. That's the way it works. So, this you can see in the history also. If you look back in the history, you will see this happening again. Whether the many powerful sannyasis have spoken in this way. When one famous sannyasi went to America and spoke about brahmachari life, celibacy from the brahmachari life, and he spoke very strongly about that, and he mentioned there that you know, to understand this message, how important it is the purification of existence, chitta shuddhi is important, and he mentioned there, unless you purify inside, self-realization is not possible. He said in the lecture that unless there is purification, self-realization is not possible. So there were many people who were listening to this lecture, and there were some of them were doctors also. They say to him after the lecture, whatever you have spoken is not scientific. They say to him, it's not scientific. And the next day in the newspaper, they wrote about that, saying that this Swami who had come from India is saying like this, and nothing is correct what they are saying. And they wrote against that in the newspaper on the next day. And one of the disciples of that Swami, next day, took the newspaper and took it to this Swami and showed it to him that they are speaking like this about your lecture. So be careful when you are saying something. They said this to this lady who has collected the disciple, who collected the newspaper, brought it and showed it to him and told him like this. And he said that they want to censor your talks, what you are talking about. He said to the disciple, says to her, today what I have spoken is nothing. Tomorrow I am going to throw bombshells, he said. Because the next day, the same people who came to listen to the lecture, he says, there were scientists, doctors, they were all there at that time. And he has completely ripped them off in the class. He ripped them off in the class, spoke so strongly against them. And they got very badly hurt. And they got up and left. And many of them who were in the audience, who were listening to them, they said that who has arranged all these talks here? They said like that about him. And they approached the people who organized these lectures, and they told him, Swamiji, you should not speak anymore like this in the way you have spoken. You should be careful. And he said, so what did Swamiji say? Swamiji says to him, no matter, I have created many audiences like this. I got rid of them in this way. He said, I have to tell the truth, otherwise what for have I come here? So that conviction, that is hitam. That it is not to talk something to please the crowd. That is no good, that is waste of time. You have to speak what Krishna is saying here, and that message should go to the people. They may like it or not. That's another thing. That is no meaning here. That's what he's saying here. So he said, I'm not particular that I have to sit and listen to this. I'm not insisting on that. Even if their heart is broken or non-broken, doesn't matter. If their mind, they are feeling stressed out or their false ego is hurt, even then, for me, what is important is the truth, he says. And if they have not understood the truth, what can I do? This was his answer. Truth cannot come to our level. We have to rise up to the level of the truth. This is the situation. This is what he said to them. He said, truth is not going to come down to your level. You have to rise up to the level of the truth. Most of the audience, normally, when you get thousands of people to get to listen to, you know, big Pandal program and all that, and you do all that, there will be thousands of people, lot of advertisements, and loads of people will come, and in order to entertain them, we have to make a lot of jokes, and everybody says, oh, this is a very nice program. Very nice program. Everybody enjoys that. They all go home, plenty of prasad, and then you go home, you have a nice spiritual activity. No, it's not. It's not. When you start speaking the truth, it's always very painful. And the reality is this, that truth cannot come down to our level. We have to rise up to the level of the truth. So that hitam, that is what is called hitakama. So hitakama, from our level, when you look at the truth, for example, what Krishna has spoken here, when you look at it from our level, we will see like this, oh, it's too high for us to get there, to that level. We cannot manage it. But still, in order that for our benefit, we have to stay to that position. We have to take that position. So sometimes, this is more interesting. Spiritual Master or Krishna also sometimes will give us trouble. Will give us trouble. Deliberately, he will give us trouble. So, Spiritual Master does it in one way, Krishna does it in another way, two different ways. Spiritual Master will get very heavy with the disciple. Normally that is a relationship. Proper relationship means Spiritual Master is heavy with the disciple. And Krishna indirectly gives trouble to us, make our life very hard for the devotee. So, many instances, many difficult situations will come. You are practicing spiritual life and you are surrendered to Krishna to some degree and you have given up sinful activities. You have taken spiritual life seriously and then suddenly some difficulty comes in life, serious problem comes in life. And then you start thinking, why does this happen to me? I have done everything, I am not doing anything wrong, at least I am living a life of spirituality. And still these problems are coming to me. Why is Krishna giving me these troubles? Even among the best devotees, first class devotees, this doubt will come. This doubt will come. Why Krishna is giving me trouble? Krishna says, that is how I am. That is how I am. In the Srimad Bhagavatam you will see, in two different places, Krishna says, if some devotee, I have so many devotees, Krishna says, but if I get pleased with some devotee, the first thing what I do, I give him a lot of trouble. That's the first thing what he does. In two places you will see. One, Krishna says to Mahabali. And another one, in the Bhagavatam you will notice, later on in the Mrugasura story, again the same thing is spoken. Look at the Bhagavatam, you will see that. In the 8th canto, Krishna is saying, this is in the case of Mahabali, he says, 8th canto in the 22nd chapter. He says there, Shri Bhagavan Vacham, Brahmanyaminu Krishnami, Tvad Visho Vidhinomyaham, Yenmada Purushastadho, Lokam Maam Chavamanyame. This is, you know, Mahabali surrendered everything to Krishna, isn't it? Everything to surrender to Krishna. Mahabali was in control of all the three planetary systems. Indra has lost his position. Higher planets, middle planets, lower planets, everything. And finally Vamanamurti came there. In the form of Vamana, Krishna came there. And Vamanamurti spoke to Mahabali and Mahabali handed over everything and finally surrendered himself to Krishna, to Vamanamurti. At that time, Vindhyavali, Mahabali's wife, she was standing there. And Brahma, Mahabali was there, Vindhyavali was there, Prahlada was there, and Lord Brahma was also there. They were all standing next to each other. So after Mahabali lost his position, Shukracharya told Mahabali, what a blunder you have done. Gone and handed over everything to him. I have told you before, this is Vishnu who had come. He has come to cheat you. You handed over everything. And now you have nothing. You don't even have know where you're going to have your next meal. That's what Shukracharya said to him. At that time, Krishna is saying to everybody who was present there, Brahmanyam anugrihnami tadbisho vidhinomyaham. 24th verse in the 22nd chapter. Brahmanyam anugrihnami tadbisho vidhinomyaham yanmadam purushastardho lokammam chavamanyate. Lokammam chavamanyate. He says here, then Yasyanugrahamichami Yamanugrahami Tadvisho Vidhanomyaham. He says Tadvisho Vidhanomyaham. Vidhanomyaham. In other words, Tadvisho Vidhanomyaham. Wherever a person is feeling his ego, Mahabali's ego was, I have everything. Everything is mine, isn't it? Because if you look into the earlier chapter, what did Mahabali say to Vamanamurti? You remember what he said there? He says to him, why are you asking me for 3 feet of land? Is this what you asked when you go to see Mahabali? He says, look at the ego. And through that word, Krishna wanted to get rid of that ego from him. Do you know who Mahabali is? He says to Vamanamurti, Mahabali owns all the 3 planetary systems. And you are going to Mahabali and asking for 3 feet of land. It's a shame for Mahabali to hand over 3 feet of land. But I understand that you are a brahmachari. So he says, Yad yad vado yad yad vanchati tar pradichame Thvamartinam viprasudana tarkai Gam kanchanam gadavadhana vrishtam Tadhamma vemudava viprakanyam Gramaan samurdhan duranan gajanva Radham sadarhatama sampradicham. All these are Mahabali's words. Mahabali says to him that, oh my dear Brahmachari, you have come here, you must have some desire inside, that's why you have come to me, isn't it? You must have some desires inside. And naturally, Brahmacharis, according to Vedic system, they can go to the king and ask what they want. And they should be given. So, what do you want actually, he says. When our Brahmachari asked him, that all I want is 3 feet of land. So, Krishna says, Mahabali says, 3 feet of land. What for? So Mahamurti says, I am only 3 feet high. I don't need anything more than that. He says, Mahabali says to him, then why don't you ask for more? He says, what will the people think about me? Brahmajani is saying that although size is so small, the greed is so big. He's so greedy. They will say, Brahmajani is very small. 3 feet. Mahamurti is saying, Bhavana means one who is very short. 3 feet. Maximum 3 feet. Very small. And even though his size is small, look at his greed. That's what they will talk about me. So Vamanamurti says to Mahabali, I don't want people to talk about me in that way. Therefore, I am just happy with 3 feet of land. Mahabali says to him, Yad yad vado vanchasi tal pradichane tvam artinam viprasudanu darkaye. That, my dear Brahmachari, that what kind of desire is this? Asking for 3 feet of land. Tvam artinam viprasudanu darkaye gam. Kanjanam, Gunavadhana Rishtam, Tadhana Veyamudava Viprakanyam, Graman, Samaruddhan, Turagan, Gajan, Yadham, Tadarhatma, Sampradi, Hicha. A list of things, he said. I can give you all these things if you want. What? Chariots, horses, and elephants. And finally he says to him, I understand that you are a brahmachari, maybe you want to get married, and a girl also to be arranged for you. I can arrange that, he says. I can even arrange that for you. Because brahmacharis, after their samavartan, when their education is over, if they have not found, Mahabali thought that because this short person is not able to find a suitable match for the marriage, that's why he has come to me. So with that, all that in the mind, Mahabali is saying this to him, that graman tathana veyam yudhava viprahanyam graman samurdhan turagan kajan. Tell me whatever be your desire, tell me, I'll get that done for you. So, seeing all these things, Krishna understood. Krishna really understood what is Mahabali's mind is working. So, through these words, he called Mahabali on that. See, if you, when you speak to Krishna, you have to be very careful. If you go and tell him all your desires, everything, through those words, whatever we have spoken to him, through that Krishna will milk us, take it out from us, everything. So that's what has happened. Yasyaham dice ese, that wherever that pride, Mahabali's pride was there, I can give all this to him. The pride was there, and Krishna noticed that. And Krishna says, that's what he's saying in that verse, wherever I notice that pride, I'll keep beating on that and make it to bring it down. And bring it to level, I level it up by smashing it down, that ego inside. That's what he does. He says to them, so that's what you'll see there in that 22nd chapter. What you notice that.
ब्रह्मण्यमनुगृह्णामि तद्विशो विधिनोम्यहम् यन्मद पुरुषस्तब्धो लोकं मां चावमन्यते.
What will happen is, I'll beat him down to such a level, purushastabdho, he will be stunned by the blow, what he gets from me.
Yan madaha purushastabdho,
the man will become stunned and his ego will completely disappear.
Lokam mam chavamanyade,
then what will happen? The whole world will reject him when that happens, isn't it? When you, up to that time, like Mahabali, everybody wanders around thinking that I'm this, I'm that. Big, big position, big, big jobs and money and everything. All that, when Krishna starts smashing it down,
Yanmada purushastabdho logamam chavamanyate,
Krishna says, he will be stunned by the blows what he gets from me. And not only that, when he gets beaten by me like that, the whole world will also beat him. From both sides. The world will reject him. And Krishna will also beat him down. When Krishna starts liking a devotee, that's what he does. That's what he's saying. Krishna says when he likes a devotee, so when you are not getting that blow, you can take it that Krishna is not liking us. Not the other way. When a lot of money is coming, and if you start thinking Krishna is liking me, that's why all this money is coming. It's exactly the opposite principle in the Bhagavad. Krishna is saying, Krishna is saying that if I like a devotee, I have many devotees, but if I like a devotee, first thing what I do is tad visho vidunomyaham yan mada purushastattho logam mam chavamanyate. I will give him such blow that he will, his ego will completely disappear. Mada will completely disappear and he will be stunned. Purushastattho logam mam chavamanyate. The world will also reject him. In other words, he will feel totally helpless. This he said in the 8th canto. If you look into the 10th canto, in the 88th chapter, again he repeats the same thing. When the sages decided to test about Vrukasura's story, there he says, they sent the Brahmakshi to examine who is the most humble among the Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. So there also Krishna says, yasya aham anugrihnami harishye tadhanam shanehi tado dhanam tejandyasya svajana dukha dukhida. Yasya aham anugrihnami harishye tadhanam shanehi tado adhanam tejandyasya svajana dukha dukhida. When I want to bless someone, Krishna says, harishe tathanam shanai. First of all, I make him pauper. Take everything out of him. Then, tathodhanam tejandyasya. After losing everything, what will happen? The next thing is, all his people will leave him. Once the money is gone, nobody will be with you. Nobody wants to see you. Nobody wants to talk to you about it. If you see him on the street, he will turn his head the other way. Oh, I've not seen him before. Have I met him before? Tells him. That is the world. That's the nature of the world. Tadot ahanim tejandasya. And Svajanam will leave. And then he will become so depressed. Dukkha dukhida. Will become so miserable after that. Krishna says, this is what I do to some devotee when I decide to favor them. When I decide to favor them. So, in other words, so if when this happens, the devotee says to Krishna like this, I cannot bear this. He will be beaten so badly, he will say to Krishna, I cannot bear this anymore. Krishna says, well, I can't do anything about that, but you develop bhakti in the heart, and in that time, I'll give you one thing, I'll give you the power to suffer, to handle the situation. I'll give you that capacity. In some words, you will not completely break down. Then, I will give you all the problems, but don't tell me to stop giving problems. Problems will be there, but I'll give you the strength to handle it. That strength I can give it to you. Develop bhakti. That is Krishna's answer. That is Krishna's answer to the devotee. Jnani and devotee approach in two different ways. We will see that. When devotee approaches Krishna, and when these problems come to everybody, for the jnani as well as for the bhakta, for the devotee also problems come, for both of them. But devotee goes to Krishna, he says, I can't bear it anymore, you put me into so much trouble. You can, only when you get it, you will know it, isn't it? Up to that time, it's all very theoretical. When the body gives a lot of trouble, you can't do anything about it, can't go out, stuck at home, and feeling the miseries of the body, and you don't want to live anymore like this, a stage can come in life. Not that it has to happen, but it can come in life for anybody, isn't it? At least it will come into old age, there's no doubt about that. One day it's all waiting. But when it will happen, very difficult to say. But we know from experience that when that happens, it's not very pleasant. Problems in the body. Then problems in the mind, problems with the other things, money, family, things like that. Everywhere problems. Problems become so serious that you just completely gets lost in that process. Krishna says, I'm not going to stop giving you the problems. Problems will be there. But one thing I'll do, I'll give you the strength to bear it. That much I can give it to you. This is Krishna's words to the devotee. Krishna's words to the devotee. Krishna's words to the devotee is like this. Now, look at the jnani. How does he do that? He goes to Krishna and he says to him that I'm suffering. Why is it happening like this? Krishna says to the devotee, to the jnani, he says that who is experiencing the misery? Sitting inside you and suffering, who is it? That suffering there. Am I not the one who is suffering? Because who are we? Actually, it is Krishna who is sitting inside us, is creating this misery and experiencing it. Miseries are coming from the world. From the world, Adhyatmim, Adhibodhim, Adhidevim. But, Jnani knows that it is Krishna who is inside the heart. Isn't it? Andhyami, inside, it is Krishna. So, on a higher level, Krishna says to him, am I not the same person who is sitting inside you and suffering? Then what can you answer to Krishna at that time? What will you answer? When Krishna says to you, that am I not who is sitting inside you and experiencing this misery? If Krishna asks that question, you have no answer for that, isn't it? So, and if you keep saying that I'm suffering, Krishna will ask you, find out that person who is suffering. This is the reply to the jnani. Find out the person who is suffering. And if you inquire who is suffering, from a spiritual level, you know that actually it is a false ego who is suffering, and false ego is not a real thing. So therefore, it has no reality. Suffering has no reality. So, in other words, when somebody says, I am in distress, when he says like that, you have to ask this question, who is the person who is in distress? If you ask that question, it disappears at that time. So, that is why Upanishad says, Krishna gives the distress from outside, and sitting inside, Krishna experiences the distress also. Krishna himself experiences the distress from inside. So, in one form, experience the happiness, in one form, experience the distress also. So, and that is why, in Taittiriya Upanishad, if you look, you will see there is a statement like this. Upanishad mentions that in the annam asanyasa bhavati sokamayatah bahusyam prajayeti
సో యదిదం కించః తద్దృష్ట్వా తదేవ అనుప్రవిశత్ తను అతల్ అనుప్రవిశ్య సచ్చత్వచ్చ అభవత్ నిరుక్తం చ అనిరుక్తం చ నిలయనం చ అనిలయనం చ. దిస్ ఇస్ ది టైటిల్ ఆఫ్ ది సెయింగ్. టైటిల్ ఇస్ సెయింగ్ హియర్ నిరుక్తం చ అనిరుక్తం చ నిలయనం చ అనిలయనం చ. In other words, sitting inside and sitting outside, both activities are performed by the same Krishna. Krishna is doing that from inside as well as from outside. Now for a jnani, he sees it, understand that, because he realizes that, isn't it? So tadrishto tadu pravishya tadu pravishya hidam nirintam cha anirintam cha nilaya anirinam cha avisatyam cha anodam cha bhavar. Taittiriya Upanishad says, he created this. Who created this situation like this? Krishna has created this. He has done this creation, has created in this way, and he entered into it. And after entering into this body, good and the bad, knowledge and the ignorance, happiness and the distress, awareness and non-awareness, all these things is Krishna. So, isn't it? Soul is what is all these things. Who creates this feeling inside good and bad? Who creates the feeling that I am happy, I am distressed? Who creates the feeling I am in knowledge, I am in ignorance? Who creates the knowledge I am conscious and I am not conscious? All these things is that awareness, Brahma, that has done that. So you cannot create, question that. You cannot find any fault with that. Just like here, the magistrate or the judge or the advocate or the what you call the criminal or the witness, they are all the same person in this, isn't it? When we study Upanishads, you will notice this, that the knowledge is such that we are studying everything separately. But when you start realizing that Advaita Jnana means that oneness of the truth, which manifests in different forms in us, then that is why once you realize that oneness, then you will not experience this diversity. Duality will go and the distress will go. That's the only way you can free yourself from this distress. That is why it is called Advaita Jnana. Remember, Advaita Jnana, it means the same thing. That Advaita Jnana, when that flourishes inside, that it is the same thing that is coming in the form of distress from outside, that who is experiencing inside in the form of distress, everything is the same source from where it is coming. And that realization is more important than anything else. So that is why realizing the self, the knowledge of the self, In order that this realization must happen to Arjuna, Krishna is starting this topic with this speech, Vachyami Yadakamyaya. So that this realization must come to Krishna, to Arjuna. And saying that, Krishna wants to start this chapter. And who all has understood Krishna in that way? That is what Krishna is going to say in the next verse. After explaining all these things, Krishna is saying to Arjuna that till you come to this realization, remember we talked about two different situations. In the case of a jnani and in the case of a bhakta, they are approaching Krishna in two different ways. Devotee goes to Krishna and says to him that I come, Krishna says in the Bhagavatam, I can't bear this distress anymore. You have put me into so much problems in life. I can't handle it anymore. Krishna says, problem you will get, but I'll give you the strength to bear it. If you get enough strength to bear the problem, then it's okay, isn't it? Only problem starts when you can't handle it anymore. That is devotee's relationship with Krishna. Jnani's relationship is, Jnani says to Krishna, why all these problems for me? Krishna says, find out who has got the problem. So Jnani quickly realizes that inside, from whom this question is coming from Krishna, and the Jnani inside, isn't it?
Kshetram, Kshetrajnayojnanam, Yatarjnanam, Matam, Mama. This is Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying. Kshetram is this body, Kshetrajnan is Krishna. So if a problem comes from outside, Krishna reminds that the jnani, think about this, who is experiencing the problem. Immediately he realizes that problem is also Krishna is experiencing, nobody else. Once this has two answers has been given, then the realization is this, the answer to the problem is, when the difficulty comes, if this knowledge of the self is there in a person, then no problem in this world will be a problem for him. There will be no disturbance from any problem in this world for that person, if he has realized that truth. Keeping that in the perspective, Krishna is going to say to Arjuna, it is this process, Arjuna, previously great personalities have followed and they have realized, and is going to talk about them in the next verse, which will be in a few minutes. So, Shri Bhagavan Vaja, Bhuya Eva Mahabaho, Shrinumi Paramam Vaja, Yateham Priyamanaya, Vakshyami Hikadamyaya. In that verse, Krishna is saying that Hitamamya, we see in that verse what Krishna mentions, that Hitam is only one thing. What is that? Knowledge of the soul. Nothing else is Hitam, isn't it? Alpajnana, Brahmavidya, is the only Hitam in this world. Everything else is not Hitam. The word Hitam means what is ultimately beneficial to anyone. That is Hitam. Krishna, when she says this, that Hitakamya, because I am concerned about your welfare, ultimate welfare, therefore, Vakshyami Hitakamya, therefore I am saying this to you. And after saying that, Krishna saying, now he is going to start saying this, who all has understood Krishna in that way? That is the next verse. Let's look at that.
Nami
vidu
suraganaah
prabhavanna maharshayah
aham
adirhi devanam maharshinam ja sarvashah.
Nami
vidu suraganaah prabhavanna maharshayah
Maharshinam
ja sarvashah Nami viduhu suraganah Prabhavam na maharshayah Aham adirhi devanam Maharshinam ja sarvashah. Krishna is saying that if you look into the translation also, what Prabhupada mentions there, neither the hosts of demigods nor the great sages know my origin. For in every respect I am the source of the demigods and the sages. Name vidhu suraganah prabhavam na maharshayah aham adirhi bhudevanam maharshinam cha sarvasha. Very important words. Nave viduhu na jananni suraganah brahmadayah kinte na viduhu mama prabhavam prabhavam prabhushakya adishayam athava prabhavam prabhavanam ulpatti na abhi maharshayah brigvadayo viduhu kasmate na vidu ityuchyade aham adhikaranam hi yasmal devana maharshinam ja sarvasha sarva prakare kincha. That is the answer to that. In other words, Krishna says, Brahma, Lord Brahma, and other devadas, other demigods also, they also don't know me. Krishna is saying, here, what you have to remember is, wherever Krishna says, Mama, you see there?
Name vidu suragana prabhavatma maharshaya aham adirhi devana Maharshi Namja Sarvasha.
So
Vedava Krishna says, Aham, Mama, Name, Vidu, Prabhau, Aham, he says, Aham, Adhiri, Devana, Maharshinam, Sarvasham. And there you have to take that word, that force, that power, as Ishwara. Ishwara. That's the word you have to take it there. Ishwara, in that aspect, Krishna is speaking there. Earlier we have seen Krishna is speaking as the Aham is spoken on the platform of the soul. Krishna spoke many things on the platform of the soul. Here, Krishna is speaking as though he is the Ishwara, as the controller of everything. You cannot take it as Brahmam here. You cannot take it as Brahmam here. Brahmam is used in the sense that it is Nirguna. Nirguna means without any attributes, isn't it? So, if you take it in the context as Nirguna Brahmam, if you take it like that, it will come to the point that in everyone's experience, it will not be true. Because Brahman is not in everyone's experience at the moment, isn't it? Only the realized persons know what the Brahman realization means. So that Brahman realization, in that aspect, you can't take it. Yet Krishna is talking about it in the position as Ishvara. In the position of Ishvara. That is how he's being here. So, so just like here, Maya, everybody cannot know about Maya, isn't it? Who understands Maya? Who understands Maya? Maya, we say all Maya, everybody talks about Maya, but who understands Maya? Very difficult. So, in the Bhagavatam, it mentions about Maya like this, Nayena Viruddhanim. Nayena Viruddhanim. Nobody can know about Maya. Because if you use logical brain, Maya will cheat you. That is why it's called Maya, isn't it? Maya's power is like this. You may think certain things in a very logical way. You may think certain things in a logical way. But that logic won't work with Maya. That's why Bhagavatam says, Mayena Viruddhate. You can't apply your logic to Maya. Just like in our normal transactions in this world, we have a certain logic behind it, isn't it? You do certain things in a certain way and it will happen in that particular way. With Maya, it won't work. That is why it's called Maya. Whenever, that is, if you study Maya Majam, you will see there, Akadita Katana Padiyasi Maya. One of the definitions of Maya is, what you think is not possible, Maya will make it happen. That is the power of Maya. Maya can make that happen. What do you think is not possible? So Krishna is saying here, my prabhavam or my position, my situation, demigods, they don't know that. Rishis, sages also don't know that. Because he says here, aham adirhi devana maharshinanga sarvasha. Before these demigods have come, before the rishis have come, I was there. Aham adirhi devana maharshinamcha sarvasham. Because these maharshis, the sages, and the demigods, the souls from which they have come, it's me. It's from me they have come, therefore they cannot understand me. They will not be able to understand me. That is what he is saying there. Aham adirhi devana maharshinamcha sarvasha. Because I am the source from where they have come out. Because of that, they won't be able to know about me. It's like that, isn't it? That something, the origin, something just like you can see, from the soul came the mind, the body, the intelligence, the ego, everything, senses, all of them.
And we are trying to understand the soul through the mind and the intelligence and the senses, which will not work. Similarly, Krishna is saying, these rishis, the sages, and the demigods, they have all come from me. And therefore they won't be able to understand me in the same way. So, because I am the source, I am the source, Krishna is saying here, then how will you know? Krishna says, intelligence cannot know the knowledge, the soul. Intelligence cannot know the soul, isn't it? That you know very well. Intelligence has its own limitations, isn't it? Through intelligence, if you try to understand, you will never understand the soul. Because intelligence, mind, body, senses, everything comes from the soul. It has come from the soul and it will go back to the soul one day when realization comes. Body will disappear, elements will go to the elements. Mind, intelligence, all those things will go back to the Chit-Shakti and everything disappears there. It's finished with that. So, all of them, all these things, body, mind, intelligence, all of them are pictures that come from the screen which is called the soul. Soul is the screen. These are pictures which come on that screen. Which one? The body, the mind, the intelligence, the ego, the senses and all these things. They are just pictures that come on the screen. A picture that comes on the screen. Now, you notice this, that when you are watching the screen, you don't know the screen, you only see the picture. You only see the pictures, isn't it? So, Krishna says, Aham Adirhi Devanam Maharshinam Sarvasham. The demigods and the sages also, their souls, it's me. Therefore, they will not be able to know me like the way intelligence is trying to know me. They also cannot know me because with intelligence, sometimes, with, say for example, this mic or the table or the lamps, through intelligence we can understand that. Through intelligence we can understand that. But Krishna is saying here, just like you understand these things with your intelligence, they will not be able to understand me because I am the source from which everything has come. Everything has come. So here, how will you know that? Therefore, only way to know that, if you want to know the source, you have to become that. You have to become that. There's no other way. You see, knowing things are various ways you know things. You can understand with your intelligence and mind certain things. There are many things which you cannot understand with your intelligence or mind. Is it not? But majority of the things you can understand. But soul, Krishna is saying, you will never be able to understand with your intelligence and mind. The only way to understand the soul is to become the soul. It's to become the soul. There's no other way. That is why self-realization is difficult. Because what we know today is to how to understand things with intelligence and mind. That is why I am saying that all these things what we are trying to understand. Understanding has no meaning in spiritual life. People ask this question all the time. How do I understand? There is nothing to understand. You become that. That's the answer to that. Then you will know what it is. When you understand, that means there is a person who is understanding there. Isn't it? And that is why in the Srimad Bhagavatam, what did he say? Tattvamyajnanamadvayam. It says, the nature, you see, we gave this example yesterday. In deep sleep state, is there someone who is understanding there? Nobody there, isn't it? What do you have in deep sleep? Only experience. Is it not? Only experience is there in the deep sleep. Only thing is, when you came out into the awakened state, you are saying, it was a good experience. But you are not there to report that. It's only the mind is saying to you, everything was there, but direct experience person who is experiencing that happiness was not there in the deep sleep, is it not? He has gone. What remained was only the experience was there, but the person who was experiencing was not there. Similarly, this case, in case of the soul also, unlike in the vacant state, when we say that I have understood this, I have understood that, if you start bringing the same principle to the soul, it will not work. You can never understand the soul. It's wasting time. Soul is not for understanding, soul is for experiencing. You experience, how will you experience? You become that. You become that. Today, I am experiencing the body. Isn't it? I am experiencing the body. Because why? I am separate from the body, that's why I am able to experience the body. But once I lose this bodily identity, and I become completely in the identification with the soul, then there is no one to experience the soul separately. You have become that. This is the difference. Do you see the difference? That is what spiritual realization is, not a subject you can teach at the university. Complete waste of time. People are running around, running seminars and courses and this, that, and the other. What's the use? The only thing is you can get the degree and teach somebody else the same thing what you learned. But in reality, there is nothing happening. You are studying like physics and chemistry with your mind and intelligence. Mind and intelligence is no use in spiritual life. As soon as the realization is more important than all your textbooks and the courses and the seminars and everything, it's all a waste of time. That's what I'm saying here. Krishna is saying also the same thing, that the only way to know the soul, to become the soul. In other words, realize yourself. There is no other way to know the soul. We have completely different conceptions, isn't it? I will do so many things, I'll take so many examinations, I'll get all my degrees, whatever that is there, Bhakti Vaibhavam or Bhakti Siddhantam or Bhakti Vedantam or whatever you want to collect, you can collect all that and you write it with your name, all these things. But absolutely effect, all, nothing. It's the same. Just like you can say the doctorate in so many other topics, you've got some doctorates in something else. That's all it is. So Krishna is saying here, Ishvara is not known by the Maharshis, the Rishis, or the demigods in the same way. Then, who will be able to know them? That is what he is saying in the next verse. If you look at that, how does he know them? Yo mama
ajamanadim cha.
Veti loka maheshwaram. Asam mudha samatyesho. Sarvabhavai pramuchyate. Yo mama ajamanadim cha. Veti loka maheshwaram. Asam mudha samatyesho. Sarvabhavai pramuchyate. Yo maam ajam anadincha veti lokam maheshwaram asammudaha samatyeshu sarvabhavai pramuchyate. That is the, they will understand me, Krishna says. So, here itself, if you have studied Bhagavad Gita properly, you won't go into university to study Krishna consciousness. If you have studied Bhagavad Gita properly, if you are not studying Bhagavad Gita properly, then you will think the university will teach you Bhagavad Gita. You cannot. They cannot do it. Because you can see these verses, what they are telling us. In the first verse, Krishna is saying, the demigods and the rishis, even they cannot know me. Krishna is talking as Ishvara. Earlier, Krishna has spoken as Brahman some places. Some places, Krishna has spoken as the Aham, as Alma, Andaryami inside. So in different levels, Krishna is speaking in different roles. Some places is Andaryami, some places is Brahma. Here it is Ishvara. They are all different. So you have to understand in which context Krishna has spoken. Simply saying Krishna is a person is not good enough. Because in every way it will create contradictions otherwise. In what situation Krishna is saying this? That's what you have to look at first. Krishna is saying as Ishwara here. Then rishis and the sages and the demigods, they cannot know me because they come from me. They come from me. Just like intelligence and mind and the other things cannot understand the soul because they come from the soul. The only way to know the soul is to become the soul. Then you know what the soul is. Why? Soul is consciousness. Soul is consciousness. Awareness, isn't it? Otherwise, how will you know the soul? How can you can give hours and hours lecture about the soul? Not this, not this, not this, not this. What is it then? Finally, it is that awareness that is what is called consciousness, the soul, isn't it? So that is why, if you remember in the Bhagavad Gita beginning itself, Krishna said that, Ashcharyam Pashyati Kashchinena. Why Ashcharyam? Why is it so amazing? Krishna says that, isn't it? Ashcharyam Pashyati Kashchinena. In the second chapter, Ashcharyaval Pashyati Kashchinena Ashcharyaval Vadati Tadaiva Chanyam Ashcharyaval Chaivam Anyi Shrunoti Shutvapyenam Vedanas Chaiva Kashchir. Remember yesterday we talked about this. Look into on the soul as amazing. Some describe him as amazing and some hear of him as amazing, while others, even after hearing about him, cannot understand him at all. Cannot understand him at all. If this is the reality, what's the point in going to university? Who on earth will go to university when Krishna is saying this very bluntly in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita? That means how dark, how thick is that ignorance inside a person? If he is going to university thinking that university will teach me Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying no, it's not possible. Why? Here is the answer. Ashcharyaval Pashyati Kashchinenam Ashcharyaval Vatati Tadaiva Janyam Ashcharyaval Chainam Anyashrunoti Shutvapyenam Vedanascheiva Kashchil. That one verse is sufficient to prove to you whether you go to university, college, this, that, anywhere you can go, Krishna says you won't get to know the soul. That is how difficult it is. And that is what Krishna is saying in this chapter. Name vidu surajanaha prabhavam maharshayaha aham adirhi devanam maharshinam sarvajaha. Even the great sages and the demigods, they cannot know me. Ishwara position is explaining that. Even because they have come from me. From me they have come. How will they know me? Exactly like through your mind, intelligence, ego and everything. If you are trying to understand the soul, you will not understand. In the same situation. And who will understand? Yoma, Yoma, Ajamana, Dincha, Vetim Loga, Maheshwaram, Vetim Loga, Maheshwaram, Asammuda Samartyeshu, Sarvabhave, Pramuchyare. He who knows me as the unborn, as the beginningless, as the Supreme Lord of all the world, he undiluted among men is free from all sins. This person will understand who is in this state. He who knows me as the unborn, as the beginningless, as the Supreme Lord of all the worlds, he undiluted among men is free from all sins. Undiluted means one who is free from delusion, isn't it? So who is free from delusion? Who is free from delusion? Practically everyone is in delusion, isn't it? Just by going to university, are they all outside delusion? The professors and the lecturers and the staff there? Is that why you are going there to study about Krishna? So because they are not in illusion? No. So this shows that this is how much people have taken Bhagavad Gita. This is how their understanding of Bhagavad Gita is. If you go to them to study Bhagavad Gita, they cannot help you, because Krishna is saying here, Yomam Ajam Anadi Incha. These two words, Ajam Anadi. First of all, you have to understand that what that means, isn't it? Veti Loga Maheshwara. Let's go with that one after the other, each of those words. Simply study Bhagavad Gita, because people want to know what the world is doing. The world recognizes all these degrees and all the other qualifications in the university. We think that if we get some of those degrees from the university, people will start respecting us. That's why they go to all these universities. Complete ignorance. Absolutely not understood anything from Bhagavad Gita. That's what it means. They're thinking that if I go to university and get some doctorates from there, and if I start telling others about Krishna consciousness, they will accept that. No, they won't. Krishna says, you haven't understood that you're going to mislead so many others as well in that process. That's what's going to happen. What can you do? This is how Bhagavad Gita is preached many times, is it not? So here, Krishna is saying, Yomam am ajamanadincha vetiloka maheshwaram asammoda samarteshu sarvavadai pramuchyate. Yomam ajamanadincha yasmat aham adihi devana maharshinamcha na mama anyaha adihi vidyade adaha aham ajaha anadincha anadityam ajatve hetuhu tam mam ajam anadincha yo veti vichanadi loka maheshwaram. Lokana Mahandam Ishwaram Turiyam Ajnana Talkari Varchidam Asamodaha Samoha Varchidaha Samartyesha Manishyeshu Sarvabhavai Padimuva Padimuvakrade Pramuchade Pramokshate. This is the Bhashyam on this. Ajari Swamiji says this. None of our Acharyas have gone to university, you know that. They didn't go thinking that the university will give them some degrees and then they will preach Krishna consciousness. This is the foolishness of the people who are going in that direction. Who can help them? Nobody can help them. You can do, all you can do is to go and get some degrees and write some books and print them and sell them and make some money out of it. That's all, that's our world, isn't it? Our world believes in all these things. Write books, print them, sell them, and then everybody says, oh, yes, I've written this book. What more do you want in life? Krishna is saying, if you want to understand me, follow the process I am saying to you. There is no other way apart from that. So, here you can see, Krishna says here, first of all, to know Krishna's Swarupam, Krishna's identity. How? Ajam Anadincha. That is the two things Krishna has given importance to. First thing is Ajam, second thing is Anadi. Two things. Ajam means one which has no birth. Which has no birth. And Anadi means which has no time. Not influenced by time. One, not influenced by birth. Another one, not influenced by time. Looking at those two situations. This word jam means taking birth. Isn't it? Jam in Sanskrit means taking birth. It is from this word jam comes in English the word germinate. It's come from this word jam. Germination, isn't it? Germinate, the like seeds germinate. So this taking birth, germination, has come from the word jam. And that is what Krishna is saying, ajam. I have no birth. No jam for me. When Krishna says no jam for me, you have to remember this. Is that Krishna who is sitting inside us also who is Ajam? And we celebrate the birthday. Is there more idiotic than that? Prabhupada never agreed for any of these things. Told us not to do it and we celebrate him and big say, Prabhupada is gone, don't bother about him now. We'll do what we think. Because the society is celebrating birthday, we should also celebrate birthday. So thing is that ignorance inside. And this is what you are fighting against. Germ means germinate. That germination does not exist for the soul. As far as Bhagavad Gita is concerned, body doesn't exist. Body doesn't exist. If you want to keep your body permanently with you and you want to realize the self, it won't work. It is better to come to terms with this and study Bhagavad Gita. With this foolish understanding that I will remain very happily, comfortably in my body and study Bhagavad Gita whole life, you will neither get this nor that. You will be nowhere at the end. So that's what I'm saying here. Germinate, generator, generation, all these words come from this jam. So the root word of all this is this jam. Ajam means one which doesn't have any birth. We all believe that we have taken birth, isn't it? We all believe. So, you can remember one thing, that you know about others' birth. Do you know about your own birth? How many of us know when I was born? I don't know. Others tell me that I was born on such and such a day. They have given me a date for that and a time and all that thing. And they created a horoscope after that, about based on that. Isn't it? So, but we don't know. Think about it yourself. And tell me, if you remember your birth, does any one of us remember our birth? So what does birth mean then? So, something that doesn't exist, it has appeared. It didn't exist, it has appeared. And that is what we call it as birth now, isn't it? This is what it is. Yesterday you didn't exist, today you exist. That's what we call it as birth. What Krishna is saying to us is, what you think as birth, what you think as death, both are bogus. Completely foolish it is. Both doesn't exist actually, neither the birth nor the death, because they are all happening in the body. They are not all happening in the body, it's not happening to you. So, imagine a state, suppose you imagine yourself. You didn't exist yesterday, now you exist. Imagine that in your own mind. Can you any time say that you didn't exist? Unless you are so much absorbed in the body, you cannot say that you didn't exist to destiny or day before. So it is similar to that situation. In every one of us, this awareness, I am existing, which will never leave me even after leaving this body, or before I got this body, even all time, that remains all the time is this awareness or consciousness. Nothing else is what exists. And that is why that potency is called Samvit. Samvit, remember? In the Bhagavad Gita, in the Nectar Devotion also, Samvit, Hradini, different potencies are spoken. This is what is called Samvit potency, this awareness, which is the only truth. Nothing else is the truth. Body is not the truth. Nothing is the truth. So, so that Samvit, which aware presents in us, all the time in the form of awareness, it is impossible for us to imagine that it doesn't exist. Is it not? It is impossible for me to believe that I don't exist. I can say the body will go, but my own existence, how can I deny it anytime? Anytime, how can you deny your own existence? Even if you are a Sushila of all the lights here, you may not be conscious of others' existence. But of your own existence, it doesn't require any help from outside, because that is the only thing what exists all the time, of your own existence, awareness, isn't it? So what you didn't exist before, and it was born now, if you say like that, it becomes irrational. It becomes irrational. People say, I am born now, because they have seen, this body appearing one day. That's what they have seen. They are not seeing me. What they have seen is this body coming up one day. And seeing that, they are saying that, and they gave a date and the time for that, and they have given, created a horoscope or whatever it is, and it doesn't mean anything more than that. Doesn't mean anything more than that. And when we fallen into that avidya, ajnana, ignorance into that, and we kept on brooding over this and made it very firm inside us, and we started singing, Happy Birthday to you. That's where Happy Birthday song came. When that ignorance, avidya, ajnanam in a person became very deep rooted and identification with the body is totally complete, one day it came out in the form of a song, Happy Birthday to you. From the all others who are around you. Around you, they sang the song to you, Happy Birthday to you. And you said, yeah, it's a nice thing, Happy Birthday to you. And you started lighting the candles, cutting the cake, and all other things, you started along with it. and it became fully established in the society. International Society for Krishna Consciousness started becoming International Society for Birthday Consciousness. This is, it has ended up like this. What is the point? Prabhupada writing all these books and telling us to study it, and it has ended up like this. And we are happy all together. We are all in it together. Isn't it? So this shows where we are spiritually. Where do we stand today? If this is where we are at, after 40 years people are doing this, chanting Hare Krishna, 40 years chanting Hare Krishna, this is the state of affairs. Is it not? And for that, any amount of money is available, any amount of manpower is available to study this. So where are we following Krishna? What is the point? Krishna is saying all these things to us on our face. He must be feeling, what kind of students have I got? It doesn't get into their head, no matter what I tell them, it will not work. He has given up all on us. Then we say, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so merciful. Krishna, don't bother. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is there. He will take care of everything. Why worry? Why Bhagavad Gita? Why Bhagavad? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is going to take care of everything. You don't have to worry. Celebrate your birthday. And celebrate your all other days, what you want, wherever you want in life. Enjoy your life. Have a good feast. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will take care of everything. Why bother Bhagavad Gita? What for Bhagavad Gita then? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will be turning his own mind. He will be thinking, what sort of people I have to take it back. It doesn't get in their head. No matter what Krishna has said in the Bhagavad Gita, nothing gets him. Nothing gets him. That's why. So it's the same thing. It's not only in our society. Don't think like that. Even among the cultured Brahmas also making the same. They say giving them a long lifespan, chanting all the mantras for that. And they also celebrate it. So therefore, one great personality said, when the birthday comes, you should cry. You should sit and cry a lot on the birthday. Because the reason that you were born is due to ignorance. That's why you have taken birth, because of ajnana. Avidya is the reason why you took birth. And therefore, actually what you have to do on the birthday is not light the candles or cut the cake, rather sit and cry for what has happened. That is the realization. That is spiritual life. And otherwise it has no meaning, all these things. We want to have our material life going on the way it's going on. Enjoy. And then if some spiritual life happens along with that, it's fine. That's what we like it, isn't it? But that will not work. That won't last very long. After a while it will all go. It won't stay anymore. So, Lobho janiyasa paramesva mune vijara hasna ahamitya bharaha sa eva jada sa sanitya jadaha namo namatta sadatam minindraha. See here. The one who is asking this question, Lobho janiyasa paramesva mune, one who keeps on asking this question, who has born? Who has born? And who goes deeper into inside and inquires this, when he finds that that was too inside, who has no birth, who has no death, that is his real identity, isn't it? That eternal principle inside, and that tattvam, that ajam, which has no birth, which has no death, I am that tattvam. When one wakes up to that reality, he is the one who is liberated. He is the one who is qualified for liberation, not the one who is celebrating his birthday. Not the one who is celebrating his birthday. Nowadays, in spiritual life also, it's very funny. Because everybody likes birthday parties, isn't it? In material life, it is like that. So the gurus and the swamis also saying, let's have it together all. A big party. It will be my birthday. You all come and we will all sit together and have a big feast. And the birthday is important, isn't it? Birthday is important. Never once they discuss this message that ajam is our nature. Ajam and what else does it say? Anadim. Two words Krishna has used there. Ajam and anadi. When you say all these things, you may think you are criticizing. No, it's not. We have to speak what Krishna has spoken. We cannot go with the world. World is led by the People like that. Society full. Well, people want to follow the society. Society cannot help us in spiritual life. You have to leave the society behind. You have to follow what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita. So, similarly, he says here that when that wake up, that realization comes inside, then you will know that this thing called birth is nothing but what they call it as Brahman. Brahman means, the word Brahman is, to put it correctly in English, some kind of illusion in us is called Brahman. For example, you know that the four defects we talk about, Brahman, Pramadam, Vipralipsam, Karanamadam, the four things. Imperfect senses, propensity to cheat, tendency to commit mistakes, and to be under illusion. Four things, isn't it? Prabhupada mentions that. Out of these four, Brahman is that illusion. Brahman, Pramadam, Vipralipsam, Karanamadam. Four things. To be under illusion, propensity to cheat, tendency to commit mistakes, and
imperfect
senses. Four things. So that Brahman, that illusion is this, that I have taken birth. That's the first illusion. So here you will see, in experience, it's not there, isn't it? Do you remember your experience of taking birth? It's not there in your experience. Only others tell you, after much later, that you are born on such and such a date, from such and such parents. That's how you know that you are born. Only after that you accept that you are, then only you start celebrating your birthday. As a, on the first year, you never told your parents, celebrate my birthday, did you? This all happened after living in the society. And by the age of 18, they make life hell for you. Isn't it? If you don't celebrate it, and then you have no choice to please them, you have to go along with it. Even if you accept that there is no such thing, just to please them, you have to go along with it. And they are frightened because their friends will say, why you are not inviting me for an 18th birthday? Or 21st birthday? Or 40th birthday? Whatever that is, because life begins at 40 years. So, all these kinds of nonsense, we have to listen day in and day out, and you have time to study Bhagavad Gita with that. So what will happen? So, birthday, in your experience, is not there. Try to get this clear in your head. In your experience, you do not know about the birth, do you? You don't. Because in awareness, if it is in your experience, your consciousness must tell you that I have taken birth. No, it's not there. It appeared one day, others developed it around you, based on you, and they started the celebrations after that. Equally, Krishna is saying here, death is also in the same way. Death is also in the same way. Because consciousness cannot have birth, cannot have death either. That is why that word, ajam, Krishna uses here. You see how Sanskrit language, the word jam, from there so many things have come about, isn't it? Like you can see here, Krishna says here, that one day this body has appeared somewhere, in some place in this world, somewhere this body has appeared. And experience level is not there. It's not there. The soul has not experienced anything. But, and it has Pratyaksham. Pratyaksham means direct perception or disappearance, a pratyaksham. It's not there in the consciousness. Appearance, disappearance is all in the body. Appearance means pratyaksham. Disappearance means a pratyaksham. These things are only happening in the body. It is not happening in the consciousness. It's not happening in the consciousness. That is why Krishna is saying here, you are ajam. Ajam. Not only we are so fond of our own birthday, we decided that we should celebrate Krishna's birthday also. We'll bring him down to our level. Someone who has no birth, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, what does he say? He says, I have no birth, isn't it? If you look into the
Vichara,
so. You will also ask this question, that when Krishna is saying to us that I have no birth,
ajo visannavyaya alma bhudanam ishvaro visan prakritim sva adhishtaya sambhavami yuge yuge.
Krishna says,
he calls himself ajam, ajo visannavyaya alma bhudanam ishvaro visan prakritim sva adhishtaya sambhavam alpyamaya. Everything is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. Only thing is, we don't want to hear, want to take it. That's all. And that's where this problem has come. So, this topic, this subject, what Krishna has spoken, this can be known only if we look inwards. If your attention is all in the world, then this subject won't be known to us. Therefore, so this subject is unknown to us. Which one? Ajobisan Avaya Ajam. That word first we have to understand properly what does Ajam means. So we will understand this only when we look inwards. Krishna is taking our attention inwards. That vastu inside, consciousness, awareness, has no birth, has no death either. Birth and death is for the body. Is this not what Yuga Brahma Rishi taught Parikshit at the end? What Krishna is saying to Arjuna, is this not what Yuga Brahma Rishi taught Parikshit at the end? Exactly this is what he has told him, isn't it? What did he say? He mentions there, if you look into the 5th chapter on the 12th canto, where he mentions there, Aham Brahma, Parandhama Brahma, Aham Paramam Padam, Evam Samikshan Almanam, Almanyathaya Nishkale, Dishandam Dakshatam Bali, Lerihanam Vishananehi, Nadrakshasi, Shariram Cha, Vishwam Cha, Pradhara Almana. What Krishna is saying here? Shiva Brahma Shri is saying there. Shiva Brahma Shri is saying to Parikshit, Dashantam Dakshakam Bhavi Lelihanam Vishananehi. When the Dakshaka comes and bite your body, Nadrakshasi Shariram, you won't see this body anymore. Cha Vishwam Cha, and the world either won't exist. Body won't exist, world won't exist. In other words, what we call as death, 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 and we keep on making a big issue out of this, it is for the body. That is what he is saying there. Only this point what Krishna is saying, Yomam Ajamana Dincha. This is the only way we can understand the soul. Soul's nature, Krishna is saying, Ajam Anadi. And here he is saying, Aham Brahma Paramdhama Brahma Aham Paramangalam. Be in that state, he says to Parikshit. Evam samikshan almanam almanyadhaya nishkale. If you do not stay in that state, you will be fearful of dakshaka. You will be fearful of death. And then what will happen? Dashandam dakshakam bhane lelihanam mushananehi na drakshasi shariram cha vishwam cha prithat almana. What will happen at that stage is, body won't be there. The world will not be there. Shariram cha vishwam cha. What will remain then? Prithak almana. They are all something that has come and gone. Alma will remain. That's the principle. Alma will remain. Shariram won't be there. Body won't be there. The world will not be there. But alma will be there. That's what the message is. Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita has only one thing to tell us. That so long as you take this body seriously, and if you keep on identifying with it all the time and then trying to cultivate spiritual life, it will not work. It simply won't work. The quicker we move away from the identification with the body, the easier will be the realization of the self. Otherwise not.
Years and years you can keep on reading Bhagavatam. But if you are not willing to accept what Bhagavatam is saying, what is the use? What is the use? We are reading Bhagavatam every day, but you are not willing to accept anything what Bhagavatam is saying to us. And we want our own understanding, then it will not happen. That's why, just like some one person, he studied Bhagavad Gita a long time. And then he goes to Maharshi and asks this question, that I have been reading Bhagavad Gita so many years, but I am not able to understand anything. Maharshi asked him, what did you understand? What did you read in the Bhagavad Gita? He says to him that Bhagavad Gita says, Bhagavad Gita, I have been reading Bhagavad Gita says to realize the self. But Maharshi says, Bhagavad Gita is telling you, don't look at me, you look at yourself. So till you start looking at yourself, this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita won't happen. It will remain like a bookish knowledge. Then it's only worthwhile for university degrees. That's all. But till you start looking at yourself and seeing inside, who is this me talking about, inquiring after? This is what's called self-inquiry, isn't it? So, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam is there to assist us in our inquiry. But we have to go inward looking for that truth. Nobody else is going to do it for us. And therefore, Yedhati Kanitam Kama Yedhalma Prashtavan Drabaha Hare Vishwatmanascheshtam Kim Bhuya Shrodham Ichasi. After saying this, just like Krishna spoke to Arjuna and Arjuna understood, Shiva Brahmashi spoke to Parikshit, Parikshit understood. Krishna, Parikshit Brahmashi says to Parikshit, Hare Vishwatmanascheshtam. Krishna, who is the Hari, who is the soul of everyone, is this world. That is Shiva Brahmashi realization. After realizing this, Kim Bhuya Shodhamichasi, he says, do you want to hear anything more after this? Once you have reached that state, then you don't want to hear anything anymore after that, isn't it? Again, you can see here, it is not through by teaching that he has understood, by becoming that he has to experience it. Not by teaching. Teaching you won't get it. It is by becoming that, because Shiva Brahmashi made Parikshit to become that. Brahma. Aham Brahma. That is why I say, Aham Brahma, Paramadhamam, Brahmaham, Paramadham. Evam Samichana, Alpanam, Alpanyadhaya Nishkale. Once you have come to the platform of the soul, then the realization is complete. Then there is no more books, there is no more sadhana, there is nothing left after that. So here, in the same way here, Krishna says here, that exactly like the birth, that is also not a reality. That is also not a reality. So this appearance, disappearance is not for the truth. It's not for the false things. Asat has not appearance and disappearance. Sat has no appearance or and this can only be known if one turns one's attention inwards. So this topic is not for one to agree or deny. You cannot deny these things because these are the truth what the sages have told us. If your own experience, if you look at it, Krishna is saying here that Sarupam inside us, whose presence? Krishna's presence inside all of us as Antaryami is Ajam and it is Anadi. One thing it is Ajam, other thing is Ajam means which has no birth. As far as the soul is concerned, it has no birth, and which means which always exists. Eternal thing. Yaham Ajam Anadim Cha. If you look into this, that is why in the commentary it says, Yoma Ajam Anadim Cha. Yasmam Aham Adihi Devanam Maharshinam Cha. Which means, because it is Ajam, because it is Anadi, in other words, because it has not taken birth, because it is eternal, time cannot bind it. These Maharshis and the demigods and all, they are all under the influence of time. So therefore, they cannot understand something which is not under the influence of time, which is not taken birth. They cannot understand. That's why he is saying that. See that verse? in the second verse, Navi Tadevitum Suraganaha Prabhavanga Maharshaya Ahamadirhi Devanam Maharshinanda Sarvasha. They cannot know me. Why? Because I am Ajam, I am Anadi. That is the reason behind it. Therefore they cannot know that. So here Krishna is saying here, without something which has no birth, that truth which is always present, and wherever Krishna is saying aham aham here, when he says here, if you start taking simply as, oh, it is Krishna who spoke to Arjuna, if you start taking it that way, it won't make much sense. You have to take it in this way only. That means, purely on the platform of the soul you have to see it. Whereas, if you start taking it the way that, oh, it is Krishna who has spoken to Arjuna in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and he's saying to him, aham ajamanadincha, yomam ajamanadincha, then it is no use, because then what will happen is, Arjuna, you will start thinking, Arjuna is not ajam, only Krishna is ajam. Arjuna is not anadi, only Krishna is anadi. That way it will develop into that understanding. That's wrong. Because why Arjuna, Krishna is saying this to Arjuna? Making Arjuna aware that he is also ajam, he is also anadi. If you bring it down to this level, Krishna is saying to Arjuna that Krishna is ajam, Krishna is anadi. No, we are also ajam, we are otherwise nasado vitilya bhava has no meaning. Is it? Because why that verse has come in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita is Sat is eternal, Asat is temporary. Isn't it? If spirit is eternal, spiritual reality is eternal, then we are eternal, consciousness is eternal, awareness is eternal. It is not temporary. Otherwise, if you say it simply in the place of Krishna and Arjuna, if you take it that way, Krishna is eternal, we are going to finish one day. It will come like that. Is it not? So that is not truth. Because that's not what Krishna wants to say to Arjuna. Krishna is saying to Arjuna, first thing is to understand that we are eternal. Isn't it? Satyam jnanam anandam brahmam. And that satyatvam eternity comes to us only through awareness or consciousness. That's the way how it is possible. So ajam is our swarupam. Our swarupam is ajam. In reality, there is no thing called birth. There is no thing called birth. What is born is the body. Body is the one that has come. We were not born. We never had any birth. And we will never have any death either. What is taking birth is the body. What is dying is the body. Isn't it? So, and that has become our birth and death. That's what has happened. The birth of the body and the death of the body has become our birth and our death, due to our identification with the body, identification with the body. So, so you can see this also, a child is born. After the birth, after a short period of time, it kept on changing, the body kept on changing, isn't it? And many changes have happened in that body, which has taken birth, which has taken birth. And we are saying the birth of the body as our birth. We are saying like that, isn't it? In the body, the body appears in the nature. Appears in the nature. And the day that body has appeared, we call it as birthday. We call it as birthday. Actually, there is no such thing called birthday. That body, appearance of that body, of which appears in the world outside, it appears there. But can you say when it has appeared inside the womb? Do you know when it? Why you are taking only the body which has appeared outside in the world? Body has appeared before that, isn't it? Only thing it came out from the womb on one particular day, you say, oh, my birthday has come. When it was inside, why you are not celebrating that birthday? When you are inside there, for 9-10 months you are suffering there also. Why you are not celebrating that? Why are we only celebrating when it came out? That's what Krishna is saying here. That can you say which date he was born inside? Which date will you say he is born? That's why, take the third canto and have a look at what he says about that. What Kamala Maharshi says about that birthday inside, what happened there. And once you read that, you don't want to celebrate anymore any birthday. All your desires for birthday will go in that way. So we'll read that and then we'll stop. 331. It begins with the birthday celebration inside. Shri Bhagavan Vacha Karmana Devanetrena Jandur Deho Bhavate Sriyam Pravishtam Udharam Pumso Redakana Ashraya. Beginning is like this. Very beautiful presentation. Karmana Devanetrena. He has performed so many sinful activities in previous lifetimes. The result was that Devanetrena, material nature has decided a body in a particular place for him, and he takes birth, and therefore he is called Jandu. Jandu means one who accepts a material body. He is called a Jandu. So he says the Jandu has come. Sometimes you want to scold somebody. What a Jandu is, isn't it? So Kapila Maharshi is using the same word here also. Jandu. He is such a Jandu he is. Jandu means animal. Practically animal. Nothing else. He doesn't know anything else. And he has got his body now. And the birthday started inside. Sriya Pravishtam Udharam Pumsore Kanashraya. He has indeed come here after wandering around so many planets in so many places. He has come and got into one woman's womb inside. Sriya Pravishtam Udharam. That he has got into the inside the womb of the woman's womb. Pumso Reta Kanashraya. What is his state at that time when he got inside? He has no identity card, no passport, nothing. Just comes in, walks in one day inside. Reta Kanashraya is like a Kana. Kana means a very, very small particle he has got inside. If he can get the date when he entered, we could have made a party there as well with that, isn't it? Kukam Dvega Ratrena Panja Ratrena Gulbudam Dashahena Tukarkandu Peshyandamva Tadaparam. Then his growth inside, what happens? In one night he becomes Karalam. In 5 nights he becomes Budbudam. In 10 nights he becomes Karkandu. And Peshyandamva Tadaparam. After that he becomes Peshyandam. These are different stages of the development of that, what's going on inside. Mase Shirodvabhyam Vavvandhyatanga Vigrahaha Nakham Loma Asti Charmani Linga Chidrol Bhavastrihi. Part by part, all things coming together. One day, head pops up. Then another day, two hands comes. Dvabhyam Vahya Anga Vigrahaha. Then the whole Vigraha starts manifesting. Then the nails, Asti, the bones, charam, the skin, everything develops. Linga Chitrodha Vastribi. And after that, comes to know whether he is a man or woman, male or female. All these identities develops in due course of time. Chaturbhidhavada Sapta Panjabhim Chitrodha Bhavaha Sharbhir Janayunavida Kuchav Brahmini Dekshini. That, and then the situation there, that miserable state inside. You ended up and you are thinking, where have I come? And they say, it's a yogi state there. Because you don't have any, like a yogi you are living there, isn't it? No proper food, nothing, you are not eating anything, everything is supplied through the body of the mother. And chutta, hunger, all these things start developing. Sharbhir jara anana vira kucho brahmini dakshane. That in that kucho means the stomach, brahmini dakshane, he lies upside down there. In that, isn't it? He lies upside down. That's why when they take birth, he comes, the head comes out first. And then from that day, everything is upside down. The day comes. The coming itself is not in the proper way, coming out. So that day itself, everything is upside down from his whole life, the rest of it starts. Madurcha kannabana dhelaru sammade. Shede vinvitrayor garte sa jandur jandu sambhave. Kapila Maharshi takes great pleasure in talking about this birthday inside. Birthday party going on there. What is that party? Mother has eaten something which is very hot food he has to suffer. If it is full bitter food, he has to suffer. If a lot of chilies in there, the child has to suffer. Whatever the mother has taken alcohol, the child has to suffer. Mother smokes, the child has to suffer. Everything you have to suffer inside. And where is the birthday party, he's asking. Where is your birthday party there? And shame, what else? Vin mutrayor garthe. The place where the child is lying is full of urine and stool. And there's a party going on there. And after all that, sa jandu jandu sambhava. Jandu has really enjoyed this jandu life there. And krimhi chara sarvanga saugumaryal pratikshanam murcham atmavatiru klesham tatratte chudude. While staying inside there, the worms and other things are biting that tender skin. And it's feeling that uncomfortable situation there. Sometimes it shows its irritation by kicking the mother from inside. And then doctors are saying, oh yeah, he's moving, fine, everything is okay. He's good, he's doing well, isn't it? He's got life there. That's why he's kicking. They say, poor chap inside, he's suffering there. And outside we are saying, oh, everything is fine. So, mukhadibhikshana sarvangam saugumaya pratikshanam. That is the time, Kapilamakshi says, he prays there, when will you get me out? Take me out from here, he prays. Krishna says, no, stay. Got some more time to go. You have come here like this before, and you promised me, he promises that time to Krishna. If you just release me from here, I will stay Krishna conscious for the rest of my life. But Krishna says to him, you have promised me not once, not twice, millions of times you have done this to me. I don't trust you anymore. Krishna says to us this at that time. And when we come out, Krishna, Vibhiridhan gadim gadaha. Bhagavatam says, you can see later on he says, Vibhiridhan gadim gadaha. When he's come out, it is all, what you say, topsy-turvy, ulta, everything. Isn't it? That's why he's saying like that. Anyway, that you can read in the book, you will see that. And Kavala Maharshi, if you look at the verse 22, he says that evam kramadir garbhe, that prayer, see that verses from 12 to 21 is the prayer of the jandu inside the womb. Inside the womb, the jandu is praying to release from there because of the suffering body is experiencing there. So after that prayer, Kapila Maharshi says here, evam kritamadir garbhe dashamasyastruvan rashi sadyakshivatyavachina prasutyai sudhamaruda. So after 10 months time, after suffering enough inside, one day Krishna decides, okay, your punishment is over now for 10 months. It's over. And then Krishna has an agent who takes you out from there. He's called Sudhimaruda. He comes in and he says, get out from there, and gives you a good kick from inside and you come out upside down. And that is why that upside down is the one in the 24th verse he says, Padito divya bhuvya sammutre. When he comes out, he is completely covered in urine. Because that's where he comes out, isn't it? Vishta bhuvya cheshtyare. Because there is all the knowledge has gone at that time. Inside the womb he had the knowledge. That's why he was able to pray all these prayers. But as soon as you came out, the knowledge was gone. You fall into the control of Maya. When you fall into the grip of Maya, knowledge is gone. Then, Vibaridam Gadim Gadaha. Vibaridam Gadim Gadaha. Everything upside down from then onwards. Everything upside down. That is from then, whole life is upside down. And it goes on still like this. And we are busy with the birthday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.